Today's episode is brought to you by Bevel. Father's Day is around the corner, and what better way to surprise dad than with the first and only shaving system designed for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Get Pops a Bevel. Get $30 off a 90-day supply of the Bevel shaving system when you visit getbevel.com/friendzone. It's time for dad to start shaving smarter with Bevel.
This week's podcast is also brought to you by Aptiv. Aptiv offers on-demand audio fitness that combines the guidance of a trainer with the perfect playlist, so you can get personal training anytime, anywhere. You can even track your progress and access all of your workout data thanks to the HealthKit integration in the Health app. Sign up today at Aptiv.com and get a 30-day trial free when you sign up for a monthly subscription using the promo code FRIENDZONE. That's Aptiv, AAPTIV.com, and use promo code FRIENDZONE.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Don't touch my hair, cause it's the feeling.
Cause it's the feeling every day I walk out my house and I see something looks like a mouse in dirty ass New York City, or I'm in London. Yes, the street is international. I'm walking down. I don't know what time it is cause the rhyme is all over the place, but my brain's not musty cause the beatbox is crusty. No, that's not right. It's rusty cause it got you bitches all cracking and creaking and squeaking and thinking y'all to underestimate me cause I ride the beat in. I got my feet in looking kinda fleeking. It don't matter cause Dustin's going to freestyle and he's done beatboxing. Wow.
Cause it's the feeling. Cause it's the feeling. Don't touch my head. I wasn't gonna touch the shit, everybody know it's ugly shit, and your hairdresser need to be whipped, and she need to take care of her kids. You see, I went up to the next ass salon, and I said, God damn, this is what you're wasting our money on? You're always in my pocket, asking me for help. Then you come home, look like you took your hair off the shelf. I'm tired, and so is your wig heads. All their eyes closed, and they look like they're dead. All the hair is ashy, and they look like a shed. That's wood and shingles on your head. Is you crazy, lady? Why are they playing? And why you letting them just like they laying you out? And you look stout with your hair cut like that. They need to figure it out. Was they paying attention when they went to class? Or was they just sitting around on the phone on their ass? Or was they on the internet supposed to be in class? Was they learning something or just really being trash? And that's why your hair looked the way it do today. And that's probably why I'm gay. Ooh.
Wow.
And it's the feeling. Don't touch my, cause it's the feeling.
Oh, you look, you know I got an R&B breakdown for that and everything, like,
cause it's the,
don't touch my head.
Give us a bridge.
Cause it's the feeling.
Not the look away.
Yeah. Look, you, if I had these headphones on, you know what was next. Holding the ear, okay.
Looking for the note.
Holding the phone, okay. I'm up. We up on them.
Like Betty Wright on Holy Key. Betty Wright sang the shit out of Holy Key. Holy, 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 holy. I was like, God. She sang from the feeling. Betty Wright was singing Holy Key. And did you see her perform? Was that the BET Hip Hop Awards where she did it live? And she was out there like dabbing and shit, like, with DJ Khaled. Y'all didn't see that?
No.
Now, first of all, we're going to give respect where it's due.
Please.
Betty Wright is a legend, right? Don't blame Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie is just a man, and he's doing the best he can. That's what Betty Wright said on After the Pain. That's your homework this week. Betty Wright is a legend, but we still going to laugh. is the point that I'm making. So when they perform Holy Key live, and you know how DJ Khaled be so into it and intense. So he was like throwing and thrusting and holy, holy key. And Betty Wright was right there with him.
Wow.
She had on like a black, see, you know how like black women of a certain age, you know, when they go into special functions, they wear like a sequin jacket and like some wide leg sheer pants or something. You know that outfit. Yes. You know that look.
Yes.
She had on like some of that shit. It was like a top with the shoulder out or something. You know, but it was a great performance. But Betty Wright was going off. Anyway, welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and hygiene. Because
who in the hell wants a musty brain?
Not me. So, hey, friend.
Hey.
Hey, Dustin.
What's happening then?
Y'all look so cute today, by the way. I wish y'all could see their outfits.
You do too, friend.
Coming from a black woman as black as yourself, that means
you
the
see
world.
Yeah. Look, what is this, look, week five? But,
and look, and you know I ain't say nothing when you walked in. I didn't want to leave with that. See, I wanted to let you live as a black woman before you reported today.
Week five, y'all.
I'm telling you, you need to be a tan real influencer. For real. Like.
Anyways, how was your weekend, y'all?
It was good. It's real good. Happy Memorial Day, belated to all those that we lost, and we was celebrating in memoriam of. Okay, I told y'all intention matters. So you motherfuckers that was eating barbecue and shit and drinking and telling kids to sit down and quit coming in and out the house and shit and turning meat over on the grill, your hearts better have been in the right place. It's a reason for the season, literally.
What did y'all do?
You know what? I rested. I went to a really dope. I actually was in the studio this weekend.
Ooh.
I was on IG Live for a minute from the studio. I dropped me a hot little 16.
Are you serious?
Yeah. At a studio in Brooklyn this weekend. So that was super dope.
My God,
oh, shit.
I worked. I actually had some other work to do this weekend. So it was a busy weekend for me. I wasn't frolicking and fraternizing like I wanted to.
What about you? Well, actually, we know where you were, Asante. How
was
London?
I was across the pond with the furious one. Yes. London was so much better than it was last time, I must say. I got food poisoning the first time, so this time around I was like, just don't let me get sick, Lord. And my prayers were answered.
Thank you.
I did go out and I enjoyed Nando's. I got to see the city. It was great. I got to see a lot of people from the States over there, which was amazing. So it was good to see some old people, some new faces. And actually, I just loved being in London this time. Like, I hated it, kind of, and I was living, I was like, oh, good riddance. And I actually did pray to the Lord. I don't have to be there more than 5 days at a time. But it was just beautiful. Like, it was beautiful to just kind of be in that overcast weather, and it's always great to get out of the city as well. So I enjoyed myself.
I love London.
How was your weekend, friend?
It was good. I mean, I basically worked all weekend. We're finishing up everything for Jamaica, the Jamaica stop,
hey,
right?
Hey,
for Kingston,
boom, 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 boom.
Which is next week, Sunday. So I'm excited. We actually head over to Jamaica on Wednesday of next week. So
dope.
I'm excited to get that going. Those of you who still haven't grabbed your tickets, it's on supernaturalpopup.com. But yeah, that was pretty much it. I literally worked and slept. And binge watched a little on Netflix.
Yes.
You know that means your tan about to pop back even more than it is.
I know.
Right?
It's going to be the rejuvenation.
Oh, summer 7 tan.
I hope you get you a tan before we go out to London ourselves, because we all will be out in London in August.
Yes. And I heard the VIP, I saw this shout out, they call Shout Out London, right?
Yeah, Shout Out Network.
They tweeted that the VIP is sold out.
Yep.
Which is pretty awesome. Thank you guys for buying those tickets. So what's the website to the tickets? Do any of you guys know?
Yeah, it's solivefestival.com. So solivefestival.com.
Yay, can't wait to see you guys. London.
Shout out London.
And I'll be seeing some of y'all again. And if you caught the green, bring it for me, if you know what I mean.
Y'all ready to jump in?
That's right.
All right. So
right.
On last week's episode, we discussed Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And a lot of the psych students were like,
they was all like,
that made me so happy. A lot of the psych students were really excited that we were basically discussing their curriculum. A lot of alumni were like, ooh, taking me back to school days. And then even a lot of people in the workforce were saying that they had been using Maslow's hierarchy in their management. So I thought in their management meetings. So I thought it was cool how across the board everybody knew what this was about. So, as always, you guys had tons of things to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I'm going
to
kick it to the listener and from the email, Jade. Hi, Fran, Dustin, and Asante. I had to pause the episode to write this email to you because, like Fran, I'm really interested in psychology, so I'm definitely familiar with Maslow. My thought is that this theory assumes a separation of stages and a linear progression, neither of which are required to grow as a person. I think there are different areas of development, but I think I can confidently say that most people don't become physiologically satisfied and then financially successful before they decide to make friends or engage in creative or spiritual pursuits. It just doesn't work that way. I think we are a whole people and so fully neglecting the higher areas of ourselves to focus on deficiency needs or vice versa is unrealistic. Our lives don't happen in segments. They happen in a flow where one area thrives and another falls behind or develops new needs in a continuous evolution. We are continuous works in progress. Just my two cents.
Jen. Nice.
I thought that was very interesting.
I like that. She took me back to school.
Okay. Right. She should have called it a nickel. Why are you playing yourself talking about just my two cents? Okay. She should be like, just my nickel.
Just my two cents. Okay. Look, just to know how much it's worth that she gave you more than that, okay? Yeah. What about you, friend? What'd you find over there?
I feel like she called us cheap.
Dustin. I actually had two.
No.
I had two. I'm the Dustin of the show today. I had two. All right, all right, all right. I was watching Kevin Hart. Anyway, so on Twitter. On Twitter, Frankenfurter PhD said, certain philosophical disciplines like soc and psych developed as the study of Western capitalist white folks. So it doesn't surprise me that Maslow would order the hierarchy this way specifically because it maintains the socioeconomic hierarchy. Anyone who deviates is the problem, i.e. poor people, people of color, and confirms that even if we're flourishing based on different standards, we're still deviants. So I thought that was interesting because they, and you know what, a lot of people actually hit me saying something similar, that they felt that Maslow only studied the 1%, which at the time was just white men, and basically based it on the money they were making, you know, their socioeconomic mobility and power, and sort of cut out anyone who didn't fit that mold. So like Frankenfurter PhD said, it was just another way to make the rest of us who are marginalized and sort of outside the lines feel like we'll never achieve those hierarchies.
You ain't gonna be shit.
Especially when culture and class and just the different backgrounds we have weren't included. So I thought that was interesting. And then lastly, on SoundCloud, Ramble said, success is subjective. I don't think it's fair to think someone isn't a go-getter or the like if they do not have the same drive as another at the same point in their life. If someone is comfortable doing with a certain level of success, why does that mean that they're not motivated? People are individuals born in various circumstances, exposed to their own situations, who respond, if ever, to intrinsic and extrinsic motivators differently. And that was based on, remember when we were saying, why is it that some people are super motivated to ascend, whether you believe in Maslow's hierarchy of needs or not, but some people are so motivated to cover the physiological needs, but also the more emotional and spiritual and I guess the higher level needs on his pyramid. And then there's some people that are kind of cool with just covering the basics and just taking each day as it comes. So that, I think that's obviously based on that part of our conversation. But I will say my only concern is people's motivations are so affected by their circumstances and their neighborhoods and the people they're around or who they grew up watching. So I guess my bigger question would be how much of that is nature versus nurture, which is like the whole other conversation of how your environment affects you and whether you're a product of that. Or if you just intrinsically really just are happy covering the basics. I think that'd be a hard thing to measure. But I do think it'd be an interesting episode. What about you, Dustin?
All right, all right, all right. Out here in these streets.
In these streets.
Oh, in these streets.
In these
Jennifer
streets.
Holliday. She's always eating the goddamn microphone.
And she do like she always making that face.
And you know
too.
What? She got that shit Aretha got on her spirit, that evil ass, haughtier. You know what I'm saying? Haughtier than thou, holier than thou shit. She always want other singers to kiss her
ladies
ass.
Ladies and gentlemen,
she
Aretha Franklin.
Oh my God, yes. And everybody always is so respectful because she bodied
she isn't
Effie
here.
Like
Aretha isn't here.
Literally and figuratively. But like Jennifer Holliday needs to be knocked down a peg. She getting above her raisin. Anyway.
Well, her raisin's in the sun.
Back to her. And now it's wrinkled. She another one looked like they took a lemon wedge, kosher salt, and a dirt devil to her butthole and just sucked the life out of her. That's what she looks
like. What a combo.
She looked like somebody hung her up. You know how you dry flowers out? She looked like somebody hung her up by the ankles upside down and just made sure she had food and water and shit and just dried her ass out. That's what she looks like now and got an attitude, got the nerve to be mean to people. I'll never forget, she was singing on stage with Jennifer Hudson, and Jennifer Hudson was being so respectful at the BET Awards, and this was big Jennifer, okay?
Oh.
Being so nice and respectful, like her star was really rising, and Jennifer Holliday was purposely singing over her, which she couldn't help but do because her voice is so overbearing. At this point, it's not even good anymore. It's
she
just
was
loud
singing
and
over
grinding.
Jay Hud. Jesus.
I mean, like, big, presiding. You hear me?
Yeah, the people in the audience have been blown out. My God.
So, anyway, I just want to give a shout out to All Things Real, True, and Authentic. And I just want to highlight why Jared Kushner's security clearance should be suspended. I just want to make note that he submitted a security clearance form that was false. Those security forms are known as SF86 forms. There are very, very detailed questions and very specific things on that form. One of the main reasons to have that form is for U.S. intelligence officials to figure out if you had contacts with foreign nationals or foreign agents. And Jared Kushner intentionally omitted his multiple meetings with the Russians, and he knew that that was a big issue, and the fact that it's not on his SF-86 security clearance form submission shows that he was trying to purposely mislead U.S. intelligence officials, and that's why his security clearance needs to be suspended and he should be investigated and prosecuted.
That's
it's some shit. It's some shit in the water. Yep.
This is just.
It's shit all over the place. But they've been doing like real deal illegal shit, and it's cute and funny. And Kellyanne Conway said that Jared Kushner trying to establish those back channel communication lines with Russia was just good business, normal business. She said that today with her eyes looking like a slot machine. So yeah, that happened today. Moving forward, I just had to get that out there because people need to know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I need to know Absolutely. What's going on. I hope y'all niggas is paying attention because it's a lot of shit going on right now. Back to these Twitter streets. I want to give a shout out to actually Men's Health Magazine, who tweeted a link today for the 14 best no-show socks for men. And there's some great options on there.
Random.
I'm wearing some right now. As a guy, this is like
our spirit.
This is like
so
finding
you.
A new bra for women that fits, that works with certain outfits that you need a certain kind for.
Right.
This like ours. And so, like, in a way,
it's
right?
Important.
It is. It's something that you need to have.
That is
so
cute, though.
Shout out
to
Men's Health Magazine. Look for the tweet.
Socks.
It'll be on my timeline. I'm going to retweet it. I also want to give a shout out to the 100 eighth graders who refused to pose with Paul Ryan during a DC trip and were quoted. These are eighth graders,
eighth
right?
Grade.
Who were quoted as saying, "I don't want to be associated with him."
Eighth graders, yo.
Out of the mouths of babes. If these babies get it and your dumb ass is still left behind like Samaya Reese. Now, let's drag Samaya Reese one time.
Who's that?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So apparently there was a photo of Melania Trump wearing a $51,000 Dolce & Gabbana coat to
Jesus.
A luncheon when she was working in the capacity of first lady. Or whatever. And she wore it over there, and I don't know where the bitch was. She was not, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Dr. Heavenly, I'm trying to stop too.
Dr. Heavenly.
But they,
imagine she listens. So, it's okay, bro.
Right.
I know you working.
But they, anyway, so she wore this $51,000 coat at a luncheon recently, and everybody went up in an uproar because think about it, what that represents, right? Her doing that at a time when people are in such, you know, economic despair, need the help, and they're cutting everybody's shit, all these billions and billions of dollars from funding for important things they're cutting, and she's cutting her kale salad with a $51,000 jacket on.
one of the web. One of
she's
the,
only gonna wear one.
Once. One of the and she don't even know how to say Gabbana anyway. She probably calls it Dolce and Gabby. But yeah, one of the one of the websites, was it Baller Alert, something like that, they posted it on Instagram today. And Samaya Reese dumbass gonna put in the comments, because they did a side by side of the coat and then the coat being worn on the runway. Mm-hmm. Samaya Reese gonna comment, oh, but she killed that look, the way she put it together. What the fuck are you talking about? And what is that helping? Don't nobody give a damn what Melania Trump got on. Especially you, of all people, who should have far better things to concentrate on. You done lost weight. They always say it. They lose this weight on the outside. Different on outside, same on inside. Mm. Everything that NeNe Leakes said to Star Jones applies to Samaya Reese leaving that comment out there and supporting the Trumps. In a way, dummy, we don't need to know that. Nobody needs to say how nice she looks. If you got something to say and people know who you are, make sure you're saying something that people need to hear. Like, it don't make sense for her to have that expensive coat on going to eat when everybody's broke, including you, Samaya.
Including her.
My question is, what is a jacket made of?
I mean, you said $51,000, and I'm thinking about
$1,000. Like, what's
somebody's
it made
salary
out of?
In one of the plants that closed in the Midwest.
Yo.
That's what it's made out of. Anyway, moving left and right along, I want to give a shout out to at I'm the PG. She says her name is Ashley, who tweeted hilarious GIF with the lyrics, use your heart and not your eyes. And it really looks like this little girl is singing the SWB song. Use your heart and not your eyes. All these tweets will be retweeted on my timeline from last night. Last tweet, I want to give a shout out to at Trash Quavo and at Rodriguez, the God, T-H-A-G-O-D, who tweeted, Trash Quavo tweeted, would y'all rock these? And it's obviously these two slices of meat, but they literally look like running shoes.
What?
And so he said, would y'all rock these? And I want to give a shout out to at Rodriguez, the God, that's the with an A, who said, probably to a business meeting, M-E-A-T-I-N-G.
Yes.
Hilarious, good-natured
such
humor
to
lighten the mood. So much fun. You know I like to laugh. That's what it's all about. Go ahead, friend.
So let's jump into this week's show. Y'all
one
ready?
One last tweet. I'm so sorry.
No,
but
go ahead.
This one I have to mention.
Squeeze it in.
Shout out to, shout out to my boy Jared at Official Smith. Who's a really talented singer, by the way, singer-songwriter. So check him out on all social platforms. But he's also fucking hilarious, so follow him on Twitter. He was in D.C. for one of the weekend festivities, and he tweeted, weekend mood, and it's a picture from back in the day of Todd, Candy, and Portia on better terms in the day when they was cool.
Oh, damn.
And if you just look at the picture, and you think about all the things that have happened.
Damn.
Yeah, and the fact that this idiot gonna say weekend mood and he's on his way to go party all weekend long.
Right.
Sorry, that was funny.
You know, Portia just dropped her podcast last week.
Oh, shit. Shout out to Portia's podcast.
Oh, and one of the parts her and her sister, they keep saying that eat your pussy till you come part or some shit like
her
that.
Her new tagline for season 10.
No, it's not. Her sister was like, so when she said, she's like, I don't even talk like that. Like,
you did that night. You spoke up.
Well, okay.
Don't use that tagline.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought the episode was almost over. The hot topic, let's get to it.
So I have a question for you. What was the last show and when
that made me cry
that you binged, binge-watched? Fact that y'all pretending to think this hard.
No, I was going to say chewing gum, but I feel like that was so short.
Do porn
that
count?
That I binge-watched?
He said, do porn count?
The porn don't count? Okay, well, the last show that I binge-watched was actually, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched a lot of, what's the show? Broad City.
Oh, Broad City.
Yeah. Oh, that's Broad City. On Hulu, right? Well,
I don't know what
Comedy Central.
The actual channel.
Somebody had a
Fire
Stick.
I'm the same.
I was watching
the fact me and you were like, no, the Roku.
Yeah.
I only knew that it was Comedy Central because of that damn song. It's like, meow. Something
I was
weird.
Nervous
but
watching
that,
it on that Fire Stick, but it was so funny. I couldn't stand
I
up for what was right
season.
At the moment.
You thought the fans was going to run
That's what
head.
I was watching. Right. When he said that dog looked like Judith Light.
Oh, yeah, I saw when you tweeted about that. And was as serious.
He is so
Yo,
funny.
Hannibal was right in his lane
so
there.
So funny. Oh, my God, that show is hilarious. But that's what it was.
What
for
about
me.
You?
Chewing gum.
Chewing gum?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So, why do I ask? Oh, but what was the last show I binge watched?
Yeah. The OA.
No, you know what? There's a show called...
Amen.
No, I actually have to catch up. Is it over?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize.
You're going, ooh.
The Handmaid's Tales,
yes.
I think it's called. It's on, I don't know what channel, but it's a Hulu original. That is bananas.
With Samira Wiley. I've been meaning to watch that.
Have you watched?
Mm-mm. I've seen the promos for it. It looks good.
It looks great.
It's a dystopian, it's based on a book, actually, where it's like, this totalitarian theocracy, meaning that basically religious people knock the government out the park.
That's
and
where they
take
wearing
over.
That red. They got them red thing.
Yeah. So they take over, and basically women, our rights are like taken away. And I mean, I don't want to ruin it for people watching, but it is incredible. I'm like fascinated by the creator of it. I'm like, how do people come up with this stuff? But it's really. Yeah, and then Samira Wiley's in it, and she does a great job. So that's a cool one. That was what I binge-watched, even though it's still, I think it's a couple more episodes.
So you ain't caught up on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I only watch it for him.
I literally only watch
him to have a spinoff.
Right? If it was just Titus show, and you know what?
But how does he not have his own show by now?
He gotta be coming.
He has his own show. So... It's called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's Titus's show.
Yo, he is so damn
When I tell
funny.
You, season one, I fell in love when he was waving off to get that bus. And then, like, everybody was being nice to him when he raised his hand. And then, because he was a werewolf. He's like, as a black man, I can't catch a cab. And when he was a werewolf trying to catch a cab, the damn woman was like, can you hold my baby? The cop was like, do you need directions? But niggas, psst,
I love him.
Sidebar, one thing about Samira Wiley. I saw a movie over the weekend that she was in where she played, like, this computer hacker. And they were playing, like, this internet game. It was the craziest shit I had ever seen. Like, this internet game. You guys, that's exactly why I'm bringing it up, because I can't remember the name, but I know somebody out there will.
Let me check my IMDb. She's
playing, like, this computer whiz. These kids get hooked on this internet game. It becomes super real, and they're living this game. And each one is trying to complete these dares. And she plays one of the computer whizzes. She's so versatile as an actor.
That's so dope.
She plays so much different shit.
Especially because she's on the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, it was so good.
It's called Nerve.
Yes, and it got on my last one. That's why they only called. That's why they didn't call
it's
it
new?
Nerves.
It was last year. A high school senior finds himself immersed in an online game of truth or dare.
It's good.
Where her every move starts to
become
manipulated.
Where did you watch it?
By anonymous
on demand.
Oh.
Shout out to Time Warner's expensive broke back cable ass. That's what Time Warner
broke
should be called. Broke
back.
Break
ass.
Your back every month. But that movie was good. Go ahead, Fran.
So this is why I asked you guys. I saw on my feed on Twitter this article pop up written by Julian Kimball, and he's a writer for Fader. And he's a young black dude, and he wrote How I Tried to Escape Reality. To stave off depression and anxiety, I began binge-watching TV, but I could only elude the pressures of the real world for so long. That was the title. So the first line is, I'm fine is the biggest lie I've ever told.
Damn.
Exactly. So you guys just have to read it. Like I said, it's on the Fader. You can just look it up. Julian Kimball.
No, read it to us now.
Right. The whole
3-hour episode of The Friend Zone.
Right. But what I loved about the article is that he brought up this whole new binge watching culture that I think everyone is a part of. I don't really know who's not binge watching shows unless you just don't fuck with the computer. And that's a whole different thing. And I was trying to remember. Was binge watching started with Orange Is the New Black? Was that like the first show that kind of introduced that?
To the masses. People who, that was the show, what happened was the show became so popular that a lot of people got Netflix and got into streaming television shows like that.
Because of that.
And it became, that's what got the ball rolling.
Yeah, it definitely was
Netflix. But here's my question. Well, it was definitely Netflix. So I don't remember binge watching anything ever. But did Orange Is the New Black introduce the binge watch, like here are all the episodes of the season, and I wonder if it's them or was it Netflix that started it with Orange Is the New Black?
I think it was Netflix that started it with Orange Is the New Black, if I'm not mistaken.
Like as a test, right?
Wasn't Orange Is the New Black their first original series, right?
Ah,
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Okay, so that makes sense. Because I was like, who started? Was it the show that was like, we want to put out, you know, like our content this way where people just
we're Beyonce too. Remember she put out that album
then,
out?
Yeah, because then after that, it's been, I mean, you binge watch everything. So basically what Julian was analyzing was the fact that his article was showing the correlation between how many hours he binge watches and how much worse his depression and anxiety feels.
Well, what is he watching?
And that's the thing he was saying. He was like, it's not even that he's watching terrible things. He said, for example, I searched for happiness through fiction, watching shows like Martin and X-Men, the animated series. He said,
we'll come back. No, I was just about to say, I'd be binge watching anime. Like,
it's escapism. Like, you know, it's a way for you to be like, okay, I don't feel good in this side of my life. So let me kind of either escape into laughing or escape into other people's lives, which is, I think, what reality TV kind of like fulfills for most of us. You can kind of like almost laugh at other people's misery.
I would look
and forget your own for a couple
every
hours.
Monday night at
whenever
eight.
I have been mad at somebody, I would go back and binge watch like a season of like Housewives Who Married to Medicine or something. I'd be like, this nigga ain't gonna call me back. I don't give a shit now. Just start the season.
I mean, I'm glad you said that because now I want to ask y'all, with the way Julian presented this article, I'm curious, do you see that a correlation between your stress levels and how much you binge watch a series or movies?
When you initially asked this question, I was like, I don't know, like, I just be getting high watching shit. What's now this have to like, do with anything? But when you say cartoons, like X-Men specifically, I started binge watching Naruto.
Yeah, look, I remember.
When it was cold outside and I was like, all right, you know, seasonal defective disorder is about to hit. Let me just curl up at home and watch some TV. So I would just binge watch anime or revisit old seasons of shit. And that would like be part of my routine. I would have my regular stuff or the substitute, the regular stuff that I wasn't feeling like doing at the time with binge watching things. So it was just kind of like an escape. Like it could have been me watching a bunch of Naruto or going back and watching Housewives of New York, just trying to see, like, let me see what these white women doing this week. Or just trying to wait till something ends. Like now I think I'm going to go back and try to watch Scandal after they've had their final season. And I think some of it correlates to the season's ending. Like, it's kind of depressing. Like, you've lost your characters and stuff. Like, when you binge watch a whole series and it's over, you don't have that story as part of your thing no more. So you have to kind of go back to living whatever you were escaping from
your
before
real
anyway.
Life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, that's actually how he ends the article. He says, yes, the world issues. Wait, hold on. He says, after all, life still continues at the end of every season.
And the beat goes on.
Right. What about you, Dustin? Have you seen a correlation between when you binge?
No. I think that when people aren't doing well, they usually have time on their hands. And so what better to do than binge watch something? I think that's the correlation. Like, I'm depressed because I have time on my hands or I can't find a job or something like that. But the internet is on, so let me just watch, you know, binge watch something. I don't think that, let's be clear, you're binge watching something that was created to entertain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something that was created to make you find a sense of enjoyment some way from consuming this. So I don't think that the concept of binge watching something, you know, evokes depression or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think that a lot of times when shit isn't going right and you have a lot of time on your hands, you just binge watch stuff. Like Asante just said, you know, the season's changing. That's a trigger for him. So he chooses to stay in the crib and binge watch something. So at that time, if someone had sent you the survey, you know what I'm saying? And you had to be truthfully honest, you would have just said, no, I'm actually not doing good while I'm binge watching this shit. But it wasn't because you were binge watching. It was because you was binge watching because you weren't doing okay.
Okay.
Well,
right.
And he also says binge watching on its surface isn't unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
It does, however, become harmful when it treads towards complete evasion, when you're basically ignoring everything that's happening in your real life. And he says you submerge yourself in these plot twists and the details of other people's realities as a way to elude your own. So it's, and he said it's fleeting. That's the thing. It's a fleeting high. Like you said, absolutely. Once it ends, then you're like, I need another right. show.
It's like, oh, there ain't no what episodes else? Left. This is some bull swing.
Man, right.
I'm telling you, this is lipstick on a pig. He dressing all this shit up. That ain't none of that. That's called paying attention. That's what that is. Of course, you immersed yourself and you're feeling it. You're paying attention.
And then you know how Netflix sends out that prompt, like, are you there? Are you still watching? To remind you that you've been on this shit for a while.
Look, and the nerve of me to go through Netflix's settings and try to figure out how to turn that shit off. It's like, I'm watching Netflix. Don't judge me.
Y'all got to pay attention to what's going on. That's somebody petty that made that for the people that's cheating. The people that's doing Netflix and chilling and cheating, that's your reminder to check your phone. Look at the time. Where are you supposed to be? That's your reminder. God, I'm telling
you. Well, I need to turn that off.
His article got me wondering, like, you know, because binge watching, I think Orange is the New Black came out, what, 2 years ago, if I'm correct?
Yeah, the first season?
2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, I'm assuming that's sort of the time frame for us to even be measured, like, of the long-term effects.
Right.
So, obviously, his article got me looking up different studies to see if I could find anything. I knew there weren't going to be any studies that have conclusions at this point. It might not be enough time. But I did find tons of studies on the American Public Health Association. They had like a meeting in Chicago, actually like a year or two back, and they identified maybe 400 to 500 people and kind of just tested them out as their test group. And they did find that the people who were binge watching the most, who were kind of counting the who were logging in the most hours, did have a higher inclination for depression and anxiety. And they were more prone to it, excuse me. So they did see a correlation. But the question was, in the study that I found in the University of Toledo, that was one that kind of stood out to me. They were saying, is it because, kind of like Dustin was asking, when you're depressed and anxious, you are going to go more towards escapism, so you're more likely and more inclined to binge watch a show than a person who is, you know, in a different headspace, different state of mind, kind of like running around doing all these different things? Or is the binge watching itself, once it kind of like pulls you in, does that create an environment of depression and anxiety?
This guy is a writer.
No, and this is a study.
Oh, this is the study?
Yeah, this is a study that I found from the University of Toledo that was actually presented at the American Public Health Association. So
what
it was like a
big... What did they
do
before all that? Did they have like dreams of being a screenwriter and it didn't work out? And so now they're like, fuck so TV, that shit will kill you. And watching all of it at once will fuck you up even worse. Is that what's going on?
You think they're biased?
Yeah.
Because like, of dreams make, deferred?
Yeah, these people making all this money now off streaming, these people getting jobs and shit on these shows, taking off, you know, and now here they come.
Look, the research that they obviously, like they said, they haven't come to a conclusion, but they are following with the test group, and they're saying the link between binge watching hours of television and higher levels of anxiety, depression, and stress, there's an absolute link. And they're saying that it's a correlation.
I will say this. I have been doing a lot better in a lot of areas of my life over the past few months that I have for a very long time. I've also have not really been binge watching a whole lot. So I will just say that, like me even thinking that chewing gum, I had to think about that. But chewing gum was like really only 30 minutes an episode. And it was like 6 episodes. So that wasn't on a scale of like when I would watch an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is like 12 episodes a season, or House of Cards. And those episodes are each
an hour
each. Yeah, right. Because, you know, people would finish those in like
13 episodes.
People would have write ups on that the full next day. It's like, it just came up. How did you do that? It's like, well,
you know
what
else, though? Now that I'm thinking about this, I'm really thinking about this, right? Sometimes when you do binge watch stuff, you kind of get lost in your thoughts sometimes. You see something on the show that triggers your thoughts about something else or something you identify with or remember, and it might bring up some really bad or harsh memories. Because again, you could be binge watching anything, a drama, documentaries, whatever. So maybe these people were triggered. I mean, when you binge watch something, naturally your mind will drift over the course of what, 18 hours plus bathroom breaks, phone calls, work, all that kind of shit. So like naturally your mind will drift. But I think that may contribute to this because I just can't see how binge watching stuff is depressing. Like, it just
doesn't
make sense.
It's not that it's depressing.
I mean, I'm trying to, when I was reading it, I was trying to process it because a lot of people in the comments and just the conversation that Julian started was, I thought it was interesting because a lot of people agreed with Dustin. What I will say though is I don't think the binge watching itself is the problem. It's similar to this other study I saw that came out this week that said, or last week, that was saying that children that spend more time on their iPads, they have more developmental delays. Now, from my understanding, obviously this is my opinion, I don't think you can blame the iPad or that it's something happening between the kid and the iPad. I mean, I'm sure scientifically there is something, but it's just that the more time the kid is on the iPad, the less time you're speaking to the kid.
Yes. Right.
The less time you are stimulating him with conversation. And, you know, a lot of the things that kids watch is just like cartoons. And don't get me wrong, you learn a lot with those cartoons, like Yo Gabba Gabba. And when I see my godson, he's learning words, he's doing yoga, you know, so it's not all bad. But it's if you have your kids just like playing mindless games all day, you know, I guess you have to be mindful. But like I was saying, that kind of correlates back in my mind to binge watching. It's not the binge watching itself. It's not the computer. It's not the iPad. It's what is not happening,
right?
Because this is happening.
Absolutely.
And so if you are, even if you are already depressed, and this is a form of escapism, it's a moment that you're not being present to deal with whatever is bothering you. So you're just kind of like putting it off. And then the more you put it off, the worse it's going to get. Even if it doesn't get worse, it's not getting better. So this is another 2-3 weeks, month, year, years passing of you still internalizing these problems you have and just finding the next season of chewing gum or Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That's right.
To kind of keep you in this other life that has nothing to do with yours. So I think that I can understand the correlation with that. You know what I mean? It's obviously it's not the shows. It's not Titus.
Right.
It's not like,
it ain't Naruto shit.
Yeah, you can't blame any of that.
I don't. Some of them make me cry.
But you know, to me, I think that is the biggest link between the two. Now, does binge watching create depression? I don't know if I would say it creates it. I will say it might kind of maybe take you out of your schedule. Because that's happened to me where I've had shit to do or shit I wanted to do. And then I get so wrapped up in like a documentary, like The Keepers, which I started watching.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah. And I noticed that I'm not. If I'm wrapped up in these stories, like he was saying in the article, like, you know, you get so like woven into these tales and lives, you almost like have to like fight yourself. You're like, okay, one more episode. And then before you know it, it's two more and three more. And then you don't get done.
Hours later, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you don't get done what you needed to get done. So I can see how it's just a straight up distraction more than anything. And if you're a procrastinator, which I have very easily can fall into procrastination, just my personality, because I'm so laid back. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sit on the couch for 5 days.
Me too.
Yeah, so that doesn't help me. It doesn't help me create a better schedule and manage my time. So I think, you know, it doesn't help. That's probably the biggest link I could see.
Okay, so now. Plot twist.
What
about the apps that we've used or encouraged other people to use too? Where it's like the meditation. What are they called?
Insight Timer. And
all that.
Yeah.
Is it the same effect as binge watching? If I'm sitting here for hours, guided meditations, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm listening to that over and over again, I wonder if it's the same thing. Let's do a motherfucking study. And let's figure it out.
Study.
Let's figure it out.
The University of the Friend Zone.
Yep.
I would say no, because when you're listening to a guided meditation, they are encouraging you to tap in and be mindful. So you're in a conscious state. You're aware. Yeah. You're aware of what's kind of floating around in your mind. And usually they prompt you to think about those things that are floating in your mind and how to breathe through it. And it's a way to kind of be present. Whereas a binge watch, you're binge watching a show, you're not present. You're in, right. in a mindless, unconscious state of, you're a zombie.
You're wherever you're not they are on the show.
You're wherever Underwood, Frank Underwood is right. in that scene, totally wrapped in what's going on in his mind and not what's going on in yours.
Right. So porn would be like the intersection of the two. Right?
I mean, listen, porn is...
Like you're
stimulus,
completely
though.
Stimulated and you're
you
in
present.
The person's mind on the screen and completely where they are and what's going on with them. It's the perfect intersection of the two.
I mean, I have my feelings with porn, but what I will say...
Oh, yeah.
It has to be, no, not that. That is
yeah,
not what I said.
We know, Frick.
That is not so, what I said.
So that coming.
Y'all are bite terrible. Your tongue. No, you didn't punch your thumb. Okay, let me rephrase that.
Can you rephrase that?
I have my thoughts on porn. There's really no way to phrase this.
None.
But I will say it's a form of stimulus. Mm-hmm. And stimulus is what keeps you present. And you have a choice with stimulus. Either you wait for...
You have a few choices.
Either you wait for a stimulus in the form of pain, where depression will... No, Dustin.
Yeah, look, that's called edging, friend.
Oh, no, baby. What are you doing?
This is the worst scientific study of all time.
I'm so sorry, friend. Go ahead, get it out. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, y'all. Go ahead and get it out.
No, it's a way to be present, and you have a choice. Either be present by your depression getting so bad that pain snatches you back into reality, or you create daily ways to be present. Your choice. And then escapism is in the middle.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
That's literally it. It's your choice. So something like Insight Timer and those apps that we've suggested, even taking baths, which actually, I won't go into that now because that's what my wellness segment's going to be. Ooh. I want to discuss the difference between escapism and self-care because I think people confuse the two a lot online. They'll be like, I'm binge watching House of Cards season 5 and then it's like hashtag self-care. I'm like, that's not. That's not self-care. But anyways, so what do you guys think though? Do you guys think that I think him sharing this, though, was really interesting because I think we're all binge watching. So it was a universal topic. But do you think it's that deep?
Yep. I'll put it like this. In layman's terms, he's on to something.
Right.
Okay? Because there is something going on. And binge watching doesn't just have to be TV. I binge watch YouTube.
I mean, yeah.
I watch YouTube while I do everything. Shaving my head, cleaning up my
really?
Body.
What do you watch?
All kinds of stuff. Show reviews. I watch, like, you know, I'm a roller coaster and theme park junkie. So I've watched, like, prime example. I'm at work today. Cedar Point Shores is a water park that just opened up at Cedar Point, which mm-hmm. is like the Karen Huger of amusement parks. Ooh. If the amusement parks were on the Real Housewives of Potomac. But anyway, it's the grand mom of amusement parks. And
no.
they just opened a new water park called Cedar Point Shores. And today, I was literally watching people, random people, videos with 13 views. That
like
people
posting
have,
their experience.
That have
on,
literally just
really
cut the
love...
camera on and walked through the new water park because it felt like I was there and
Dustin
I was able to really
so
get
funny.
To
you
dig
really
deep
love
and see
amusement
it.
Amusement parks.
Yeah. So I binge watch that kind of shit. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Okay.
But I need to stop. Because I do stop thinking about what I'm watching and start thinking about everything that bothers me. I start hearing that music that's playing before Sorry comes on the Lemonade movie. You know, that chime, that ding, 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 ding. I start hearing that and thinking about, I wonder if I'm supposed to be around here. I believe that he's on to something.
Right. And he also mentioned the news cycle that's happening right now with our administration and how... It can make you, it's making all of us look for escapism even more because it's too much. We're literally being assaulted mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like all day long. I'm not even going to say his name because it's triggering, but mm-hmm. all day long, it's something new. It's something scary. It's something overwhelming. And the fact that I think we only know 10% of what's actually happening is even scarier. So he was bringing that up too. He was saying, the stranglehold over the news cycle on this continuous loop of torture porn, which I thought was a good way to explain it. It can be a struggle to disengage completely. And then he also mentioned just being a black man, you know, on a daily basis,
he a
period.
Black man?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that
so he
just
was binge watching in Living Color.
I mean, he did say Martin.
And Living Single and shit. Yeah.
But he was saying, you know, even that.
In Living Color, single.
The feelings of despair. And what I liked was he said, when straining to be conscious of everything purees the psyche, sometimes the best way to manage constant unease is by keeping a distance.
Wow. Mm.
And that's where he's like, it's so easy to just get sucked into this binge watching culture.
So he's a preacher.
But I will say, too, you know, it also does depend, I think, on what you're watching. Because I watch a lot of amazing documentaries, too, on Netflix. I've learned a lot on Netflix. Like, everything ranging from, like, those Nat Geo specials about that, you know, like,
yeah,
animals.
You different, friend. I mean, nothing against you or anything, but, you know, the most of us are binge-watching, like, 24 and
I mean, 24
Peaky
is
Blinders
amazing.
And all that. Like, well, I don't watch Peaky Blinders. I'm just naming some damn
what
shows.
You see.
But I did watch some more.
Right.
But it's just, like, when you have those types of shows that you watch, and none of those can even be bad, it's like this entertainment. Sometimes by episode, like, 2 or 3, you're like an autopilot. Like, you just know
totally.
That you're part of the story. But when you're watching documentaries and stuff like that, I feel like there's something of different nutritional value every time you watch.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like in entertainment and you're watching shows for storylines and things like that, looking for those sorts of things, you might just be getting sucked into what you don't realize is you losing time to be working on yourself. And that's why when you're binge watching stuff, you're literally just setting yourself up to lose yourself.
Right.
Like, you're immersing yourself. But then you come out of it and you've missed, you know, everything and what's going on in the real world.
You've missed the whole weekend.
So explain them things on the treadmill where you can watch all them shows. Because that's how I started watching Love & Hip Hop New York, full disclosure.
So how long are you going to be on the treadmill, though? You're not going to be on for every episode.
I'm trying to get right. Summer 17.
If you're going to make it that long, then that's actually helping you out because you're not watching.
Because I'm doing something.
Because you're motivated to watch. Like, you have to do something to your body to get it going. Unless you're just watching it.
You know what? The funny part is that that's actually what my wellness segment is
today.
Oh,
I'm talking about, I'm just going to show that.
Look, and it
no,
started.
It totally
but
is.
You know
I was
going
to say, let's do a swap. You know?
And you know what? You're about to give us, mm-hmm. like, this is how I came into ninja training. Like, I was like, all right, you know what? Naruto was actually a good ass show. I would watch, like, you know, 20 fucking episodes at a time. And then I was realizing, you're not retaining a lot of every episode. So, you know, if you can go to the gym, get high, get these things together, you can watch you a couple episodes of Naruto. And I was breaking it all up since I had it all together.
Like a treat.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to come to an end and I wanted to stretch it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, to me, I think it's all moderation too. I personally don't think escapism or binge watching is necessarily bad. I do think it's bad if it's stopping you from getting shit done, you know, and that goes for anything, even a relationship. Friendships, partying, it's not just binge watching, right? Any kind of distraction that kind of like deviates you from your plan.
So T.I. was right.
What did he say?
No, T.I. was not right.
He said Tiny was a distraction to him being successful, basically, on the Angie Martinez show. Everybody went the fuck off. Like, nigga, she went to jail. She took a charge for you. And you talking about she was a distraction? So on the show, he had bought her a car or whatever, like saying, I'm sorry, but I still don't want you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
T.I. But, I mean, check out the article. Of course, we'd love to know what you guys think. Are you a binger? Do you do
what
it in moderation?
What you been binge watching?
Yeah, and let us know too so we can watch. You know, I asked on Twitter, too. I was like, what was the last thing that you watched that, like, you know, it was amazing. And it had like 300 responses, 300 or 400 responses.
Not a people.
I can't ask that kind of question on Twitter.
Why?
You know what my 300 responses would be like?
What? A bunch of
if
kids
I asked
and
them
memes.
What kind of stuff they just watched that they enjoy. Come on now.
The whole of AK Cruz.
Get the head copped over that.
But I definitely want you guys to check out the article and let's talk about it. I'm curious to see what you guys think.
It's very interesting, very thought provoking. And it's a great conversation to have and something that people should talk about.
Yeah, and self-reflect on, too. I definitely think you guys should look up the studies, too.
Definitely.
There were tons of studies. I'm definitely going to be following them just because I'm curious of what the results are going to be, the conclusions from all the studies and people's brain scans and what chemicals are like shifting in people's brain health. Just, I mean, that's the thing. We're getting stimulated in so many ways now in this digital age,
and
whether
I
it's good
know
or bad.
What they had going on too. I
before?
Need some data. Yeah.
Like, oh, you mean the scientists?
Them. Oh. Thank you, friend. See, I was talking
Justin
about the people they tested.
A whole different study.
But friend, keep being my third eye. Check they ass too. Where y'all come from?
Do you think you can binge listen to music?
You know what? I thought about that. I thought how often I use music as escapism. Because I do. I definitely do. There are times where if I don't feel well, my reflex is to play a song. It's
yes,
like the dopamine,
right.
which
yeah,
we've talked about.
Point.
Right. We've talked about the dopamine high and just how you need that quick fix of like a chemical to release to kind of calm you. You know, people obviously have different ways to
like,
find
you
the
know,
calm.
My grandparents taught us that. Like, you know, when you get the church mint, like be quiet and just reaching the purse, something sweet to shut you up. It's like dopamine high. No.
Maybe.
You just play a little song, get you going.
I
back.
Can see how sugar, because it's emotional eating.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the dice roll with that theory is whether or not your grandparents had good candy.
Oh, you know what
the
good candy was.
Most grandparents only got mints and shit.
Butterscotch.
You know,
well, I like
shit.
Them church mints, the ones that melted in your mouth.
Where
like
the Reese's
those?
At?
Oh, no. She
where the
no
Fitz
Fun Size
Snickers?
She kept them little strawberry candies. Oh, the Werther's is
I be feeling like such a little old man when
I eat. So
and I always chew it because I can't wait.
They need like a Werther's restaurant or something. Or like I trust Werther's to like make good food or good
you
desserts.
Are so funny.
I don't know.
So desserts, hopefully yes. you found this conversation helpful in some way. And, you know, we're always prompting you to self-reflect in some way. So with that being said, let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
And I just coughed, so you know it's about to be on key.
Give it to him.
Well.
So, actually, so I was looking up ways to, because this is the thing, we focus so much on the things that are distracting us from feeling better, but you very rarely hear conversations on ways to actually feel better. You know what I mean? It's always like, this is why you don't feel good. But
right.
how do we fix it? So what's the, you know, how do you rewire your brain so that you can stop binge watching if that is a problem and stop, you know, weaving your life into the lives of reality stars because their life is worse and it kind of makes you feel better about your life in some twisted, toxic way. Right. So I started looking up articles, of course, and I started reading up on neuroplasticity. It's an
You can get plastic surgery on your
No. It's an umbrella term referring to the ability of your brain to
so stupid.
You can get Botox in the neurons?
So
why are people
dumb.
Doing that?
I mean, are you surprised? I would not be surprised.
I don't take it too far.
No, but neuroplasticity is an umbrella term referring to the ability of your brain to reorganize itself, both physically and functionally throughout your life, due to your environment, behavior, thinking, and emotions. So it's basically a way to change your brain. And there's so many studies on how to do that. Now, obviously, it goes way deeper than that. There's so many layers. But when I was reading this article that I do want you guys to look up, and I even think we should do an episode on it. It's the 10 fundamental ways of rewiring your brain. And it gives you
it gives you
10 steps. So definitely you should do an episode on that. Maybe that'll be next week's. But the first step, even just the first one, definitely was like, whoa, it kind of like clicked in my brain immediately, where it says change is mostly limited to those situations in which the brain is in the mood for it. So it says if you are alert, on the ball, engaged, motivated, ready for action, what happens is that the brain releases neurochemicals necessary to enable brain change. But when you're disengaged, inattentive, distracted, or doing something without thinking that requires no real effort, your neuroplastic switches are turned off. So I think that's the issue. Once you look at it from a scientific perspective, you're disengaged when you're binge watching. So the neuro plastic switches that would that could be helping you not feel this way are off. Yeah, they're off. They're disengaged or disabled. They've been deactivated. So that scientifically, I think, is the biggest issue, is that you're not creating an environment for yourself where change for this depression and anxiety could even be created. What were you going to say?
I think this is a wonderful information.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work in an environment where the people who were employed there did the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm.
And a lot of them had done that for like 15, 20, 25
years. Like factories.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah, that's what.
Well, no, I mean, my mom, yeah, that's
what
it
was.
Because
I just don't want to offend anybody,
but I
know for sure from being in that environment,
yeah,
and seeing these people work like that, and seeing them not mature beyond certain things, and just knowing that they have been doing these jobs for 30 years, and this makes perfect sense to me.
Right,
it's like they literally have pressed pause. Off. When it came to certain developmental things or certain changes in thought, all that shit. So I know for a fact I've witnessed
You witnessed
this.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, this article, and like we said, we'll do a whole episode on the 10 steps because that was just the first one. And I thought that one was pretty profound. It's simple, but it's something that you overlook. Like, I'm not creating an environment for change. I'm creating an environment that's completely unconscious. And that's why nothing in my life feels different. You know, so something as simple as binge watching every couple of weekends, to you, it might seem fun. But on a a neurological level, these transmissions are not hitting the way that they should be. So it's just something to think about. We'll definitely dissect that further. But what I did, that's why I was like so interesting that you were saying about being on the treadmill watching The Housewives, mm-hmm. is because I think maybe we should do some kind of 30-day challenge just to see if our brains rewire in some way. And yeah, I mean, the best way, when people always ask me, well, what's your source for this? You know, X, Y, and Z, I'm my source. I don't need a book to tell me, you know, I don't need a scientific journal. All I need is to see something being said, and then I put it to the test, and I'm my source of if it works or not. So I think, yeah, with this information is so valuable because it's a key and it's a code, a light code, and you decide to engage it or not. Yeah. So I think it'd be exciting for us to crack a code. Like, let's see if this is it. Is this a way to rewire our brains? So I think we're all binge watching. Escapism, I don't necessarily think it's a problem. I think we need it. I think it's healthy. Sometimes it's too much going on. You know what I mean? You need to laugh. You need to watch a funny story or a crazy movie, you know? But I think you should equally be stimulating your brain to not fully disengage either. So give yourself the best of both worlds so that you're still getting shit done and still having fun escaping, you know, when you feel like it. So I think we should do like a swap. That should be the 30-day challenge, where for every episode you binge watch and turning off your switch, your neurotransmissions, you should also do something that turns it back on, though. You know, whether it's I'm going to watch one episode, and then I'm going to run. As a swap, I'm going to run for 30 minutes.
I thought you was going to say, and then I'm going to run numbers. Like, I'm going to watch one episode, and I'm going to go pay for illegal gambling.
Sounds like my grandma's schedule. But no, you know what I'm saying? Like, to create that. Let's create those environments then. Like, watch House of Cards. But, like, what else are you doing, though? If it's 13 episodes, there needs to be 13 times that your brain switches turn on, too.
Yep.
And so aside from running, I'm trying to think, like, what are other healthy ways? Obviously, even just creating, it doesn't have to be like this, you know, daunting thing. It could also even be creating your schedule for the week. I mean, that keeps you present so that you can be like, what does my week look like? What do I want it to feel like? What needs to get accomplished to push me even an inch further into what I'm trying to manifest? You know what I mean? Creating your schedule for the week, I think, could be a swap for an episode.
I agree.
Do you have any other examples?
Yeah, that way you won't now binge you know, implies that you're over consuming.
Right.
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 So maybe then you can adjust that. Mm-hmm. Just challenge yourself. Instead of sitting here and watching 6 episodes, watch 3 and take your ass to the mall and go walking. You know what I'm saying? Walk around and look, walk around your neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Something I mean, that's
like
a
that.
That's a good swap.
That's a swap. Yep. That's a
yeah.
good start.
If you want to watch an episode, then walk around the block or around
low
your neighborhood.
Low impact, depending on your neighborhood, because you might have to move a little faster on some blocks. You know what I'm saying?
Or so, how about jumping rope? That's mm-hmm. one of my favorite yes. things in the world. So make yourself, let's say the episode is 20 minutes, so jump rope for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, let's make this healthy. And
I
just
agree.
Yeah. That's I think it's a cool 30-day challenge.
Do you want
as a couple?
Mm-hmm. Oh God, I already know where this is going.
You can turn Netflix and chill into Netflix and thrill. You know what I'm saying? 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there.
I mean, you know,
bend
what?
Down. 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. You never, you know.
I'm not mad at that. That's exercise.
You know?
Your sweat, you can get in a good sweat.
Well,
you know what I mean? Your
you
heart rate is going
where
up.
They at. You know what I'm saying? Including your partner.
Listen, to back to overconsuming and all of that.
Back
when,
to back.
When I had to meet myself where I was before when I was first starting my fitness journey.
So a solo vid.
No, that's why.
That's my last dirty joke. Sorry, y'all.
I don't want to laugh to encourage you.
But you want to laugh. Can you? Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know you want to laugh. Look at your shoulder. Asante's shoulders are shaking. For the listeners who can't see, I'll commentate.
So one of the things that I used to do was, you know, because I always at one point said, Popeyes is always going to be in my diet. So I'm at least try
wow.
to. No, so listen. You know, you got to be real with yourself when you're setting goals. So at the time, I was like, all right. So
work around
if I'm
going to
do this
desires.
Gym thing, if I'm going to do this gym thing and I'm not going to completely change my diet, let me cut down and cut back on some things to start out. And it was making things easier. So I'd be like, let me get a 5-piece or a 3-piece instead of the 5-piece this week. Or
hey,
then
listen,
the week
baby
after,
stuff.
After doing that for some months, I'd be like, all right, well, let me go to the Naked Chicken or something like that. But by then, I'm not going to eat Popeyes no more. By then.
The Naked Chicken?
Yeah, they got some healthy options in there. But if I can't have what I want
at
out there,
Popeyes?
I don't really want to go. Oh, yeah.
Will they take off the skin?
It's like, yeah, it's just seasoned on the outside. And they look like little somethings. I don't know.
That's so
I ain't do
funny.
That. I just said I'm just not going to eat here. I'll just, you know, get some better options.
Well, that's olive oil. That ain't Popeyes.
And you know, I've been doing that with, I'm so mad at you. I've been doing that with shopping to try
yes.
to stop my consumption and like this whole fast fashion culture of like, you know, with factories.
I need it now.
Yeah, need it now and then throwing it out. It doesn't last. And just capitalism. I'm really trying to be a better person. But what I've been doing is if I buy something new, I will donate something that's already in
yes.
my closet.
Yep.
So it's like a swap. If I'm gonna buy something, I have to donate something so that there's not just this, you know, closet full of shit that like you don't even really wear like that. You just always need the high, the dopamine high of needing something new.
There are literally 3 or 4 pairs of shoes I just keep shuffling around that I never
I have
wear
things in my closet with tags. Like that's how I know
Ooh.
I have a problem. Like things that I've never worn. The other day I took stuff to the Salvation Army and it had tags. I was like, I never wore you. Mm-hmm. I bought you to be in my closet. Like what am I thinking? And that's what made me have to switch, you know, turn them switches on and off. Like there's unconscious shopping where you're just buying to buy, and then conscious shopping where I'm buying because I need it for something
purposeful.
Specific. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, so let's play with our chemicals, y'all. Let's play with our brain
okay,
a little
but
bit.
You know, not for real, though, for some of y'all listening.
No, but really, like, I think this is the best way to combat it because I'm not going to sit here and be like, just stop watching these shows and
right.
you're distracted and we have things to do. We're trying to save the world. I don't think that's very realistic.
Right.
There's a lot of good TV. That's just the reality of it. Like, there's a lot of good shit that's
and
out
like
right now.
And I like to shop.
And we like to
shop.
We like to,
shop,
we like to look good, and
we like to shop.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean it's a form of expression. I will say
like
that you know it expresses how you feel, your personality, your different moods. It's great, but I do think there's a more conscious way to do that too, which
it's
is what I'm trying to be mindful
of.
Never
knowing what you might roll up on. You know what I'm saying?
And just looking cute.
You just, and, of course, you know, basic fundamentals.
Right.
But like, but just, you just never know if you're going to find that one piece and it makes you just want to go shopping.
Because right.
when you find it, you know, like, ooh.
But let's, so, I mean, we kind of gave you guys a little bit of ideas go for a run, go for a walk.
Go to the mall.
Dustin said, you know, Netflix and thrills. What else? What are a couple more things? Writing out your schedule for the week.
If you're doing something bad, just do it a little bit less until you just don't want to do it no more.
I mean, that too.
I mean, because that's really how I've
like
been looking at my
diet. Popeyes, yeah. Little by little.
I have not eaten Popeyes and... Wow, I'm not going to say that out loud. People
and you know what
that.
I always tell people when people ask, like, how do I eat healthier?
They're not even a
I always say it's not so much about, I don't believe in elimination diets where you just like, what can I eliminate? I think you have to incorporate health into your diet, and then slowly the health starts boxing out the unhealthy things, because your body's it's like your brain with, like we were just saying, the chemicals start shifting and suddenly your body's like, I don't really need this much of this fried or sugary thing, because your nutrients are kind of like developing a new palate in a way. You know what I mean?
Especially when you look at all the things that you want.
How?
Every day I get breakfast at this diner across the street from my office. Mm-hmm. Every, like, to the point where I go in, look at the man, he nods, I leave, come back and pick my food up. I don't even wait no more. But, like, I always get French toast, scrambled eggs with cheese, and sausage patty every morning. I don't care. Anyway, but I normally put salt on my eggs and cheese, and I sprinkle a little bit on the French toast because it's salty with the sweet. But today, I didn't feel like going in the kitchen area and getting the salt, so I was like, you know what? I don't need this damn salt. And this breakfast is about to be just as good. And it was.
See? Mm. And now you just eliminated sodium, at least a little bit of sodium in your diet. So, I mean,
sometimes with hot sauce.
Baby steps, Harris steps.
I don't
steps.
Get how people eat hot sauce.
Ooh, I could put hot sauce in salad.
It
everything.
Makes everything you eat taste like hot sauce. Why do you want to taste that?
I agree
I don't
with
get
friends.
It. Where's your seasoning?
I just like it's not fun. Like, what? That shit burning. This is spicy. Can I enjoy my food?
Oh, I love a good
Why
spicy
do you want
something?
Everything you eat to taste the same?
It don't all taste the same when it's spicy.
Yes, it does.
No, it don't. You ain't never had... Oh, never mind.
You have seafood.
Look, more for me. It don't even matter.
But anyway, so that's something to consider. Just swapping. Let's see. Let's try it. Because it's about to be June. When is June 1st?
Tomorrow.
Is it?
Well, when they hear it, it'll be tomorrow.
Oh, well, perfect timing. It's June 1st. That's the best way to start a 30-day challenge. And just starting from day one, clean slate. So binge watch all you want, but just make sure that there's a partner habit that you are forming that is also allowing you to manifest what you need to be manifesting on the side while you're, you know, watching Master of None, which was so good. But anyway, so many damn shows. That's it for this week's wellness segment. I hope you found it useful and helpful.
I think it was great, friend.
Wasn't it fun? I like today's show.
That's
so
nice.
Asante, now we move on to Mr. Music Man.
It's the Music Man.
What you got for
What's
us this
week? What's in his head? It's an apple. And here I go. Well, this week's Music Man segment, we're doing an icebreaker. And this icebreaker comes all the way from across the pond. I was kicking it with Claude.
Oh, it's my baby.
Shout out to Claude Kelly, one half of Lewis York.
My bouquet.
That decided to ask a crazy ass question at this party we were at.
Oh, no, I'm scared now.
And so I said, you know what? We're going to do that this week on the friend zone. He said, do it then. Oh, so here we go. So icons are usually off limits.
Oh, boy.
People take it too damn personally. So if you knew you would lose any respect, any friends, or your job, what music icon would you admit you just don't get?
Oh, Jesus. No, I can't do that. Oh, no.
And so now when he says just don't get, so when he asked the question before, it was kind of like a... Some of us were just saying, like, you know, who you don't really fuck with or who you just didn't really get into and whatever the reason was. So one of the people, I should not be answering this question. But so I'm just giving you one of the answers. Mm-hmm. One of the people that I said was Tupac, right? Because, you know, Tupac was widely known and respected, but let's be real. Look, that, and that's the point
I'm
of this game.
I'm not judging you because you said no judgment when you asked the question. So I'm
Your
playing
face,
along.
Though.
But I literally had to remember that we friends. And
look,
this is a show. Because I was
I
absurd.
I wish I could have seen
to me. You know what I'm saying? But what I might say might be absurd to you.
Exactly.
Because I have an answer.
Okay. So what's your answer?
No, go ahead and make your point.
Now I can make my point. So in Atlanta, you know, we had like a lot of crunk music ATL were on the radio, but we still had respect for the Biggie and the Tupac and all that. Mm-hmm. But if you was listening to the radio at the right times and certain things, you were just like, all right, that's going to change. And then you listen to what you're listening to, which was cassette tapes and the booty music at the time. So right. Tupac, growing up in that era for me down south, was not like the biggest thing. But, you know, I still respect him in Poetic Justice and all that. And I still respect the legacy and he that was. It just wasn't like my thing. Like some people would be like, yeah, I know. I can name 3 Tupac albums, 5. Blah, blah, blah. You really ask them, they're like, I don't really know. I just, you know, everybody loved Tupac, so. But Tupac was one.
That was yours.
That was one.
I'm still thinking. What about you?
Okay, so I'm just going to say it. Britney Spears. Sorry, I've never understood the fascination with Britney Spears. For me, if I can identify like something about you that is, I don't know, something, if there's an undeniable talent there, if there is something that makes you special or stand out, then I get it. But I just have always felt like Britney Spears had a whole bunch of hit records.
Right.
I don't ever feel like it was her that drove anything. And I feel like what really gave her personality as an artist was her infamy, or like the things that she did that she was, I'm sure, less than proud of. Shaving her head bald and attacking that Ford Explorer with that golf umbrella.
The like tragedy.
Yeah. You know, having them kids. And, you know what I'm saying? Kevin Federline ruining her goddamn life and all that stuff. Those are the things that people remember. Her sister having that baby, you know what I'm saying? She had a Nickelodeon show and got pregnant. And we was like, ooh, so what was really going on over there? You know, all that kind of stuff. But for me, I've never heard of Britney. Now, that's not to say that there aren't Britney Spears songs that I like. I love that song when she's in the bathtub. Is it Every Time?
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
Oh, wow.
I love that song, Lucky. By Britney Spears, I love that song. I love the song with the snake, all the shit that Pharrell did. There's some songs on Blackout that I really like. Was Breathe on? Or
That's one. Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's the other? Oh, it's another song in there. That
was when The Clutch was working on her project.
The Clutch, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that made me think about Cassie, Official Girl. But staying on topic, so I just have never gotten Britney Spears. And on everything I love that's holy and pious, the first time that I saw Oops, I Did It Again, I really thought that I was watching a parody, like on Mad TV. All jokes aside, I swear on everything I thought it was, and I just never got it. Now, that don't mean I don't respect, you know, the fact that she made a mark in pop culture or her music was popular, so she has a huge following of people that love her for whatever reason they choose. I get it, and I respect your position based on what you've accomplished, but I kind of just feel like you accomplished accomplishments. It wasn't like there was anything.
I get it.
One of many. That's all I'll say. So that's mine.
I'm glad I didn't even have to. I was going to ruffle y'all feathers, but I'm glad you already knew how it was going to be when I asked the question. Because I was actually going to say somebody just to see how he was going to react.
Who?
I was going to say Mariah Carey.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Right.
Oh, no, baby.
Oh, no, right. See how Mariah
that
got
is look, an icon.
But I know.
You can back that up.
Well, no. Everybody has their opinion.
I'm afraid to say who I want to say.
It was funny what I said.
I can't do it, y'all.
What I said to Cloud was... It was hard for me to pick initially because for what I said to them, I was like, well, I think that everybody, like, as an artist has something cool to say. It's just some of us gotten to more people than others.
What should I like about
music? I mean, also, I think with music, you either connect like about, or you don't.
I don't fucking know. Right, exactly.
It doesn't necessarily take away.
As a former Britney stan, can't even tell you what mm-hmm. you should have liked about
You're
her.
You're a former Britney stan?
Oh, Blacksalutely. I think I have... absolutely told the story about how when Hit Me Baby One More Time first came out, how I printed out those lyrics in like the fourth or fifth grade and took them everywhere. Like, hell
are
yeah.
you serious? Hell that is yeah. so
yes.
cute.
Yeah, I can respect
that. And
this
is when your hair was straight.
Oh,
I need the visual.
Oh, that's not part of the visual. Thanks for kicking it up again another week that I will have to live this.
That was the best story you ever told.
Okay, so
especially when they were tweeting us the picture.
Moving past the hair, right? This is sure. my thing. I can understand that using the fourth or the fifth grade. You know what I mean? Impressionable.
Okay.
All you needed at that point to be like, I guess, to buy in was a melody that you could follow and remember that was.
You're trying to tell this to yourself.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking that's why you were a fan, unless you can tell me why you liked her.
I think she's an incredible entertainer.
What? How?
How? Okay, at the time.
Back then, yes.
At the time,
I'll give you that. She could dance.
I'm not saying like in general, right. But at the time, because I look at people by their eras, like mm-hmm. what impact they made when they came out. Right. And who was dancing like that and putting like the showmanship
and being provocative.
And even just the effort that, I mean, the choreography. Okay, the vocals, you know, whatever. But she was.
Was that
beast
her?
Of a performer, though.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, the
anybody
performance
can be taught,
is her.
Like the choreo.
But you can kind of say that about any dancer, except
yeah,
for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but it sometimes it reads more authentic for me than, I don't know.
Even the choreography, really?
Yeah, like I can see people dance.
And it's like their lifeline, like.
Say, love him or hate him, Chris Brown. When Chris Brown dances, it's magic. You know what I'm saying? He is a. That's not someone just simply saying, okay, one, two,
like
three,
on
remember
autopilot.
This. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've just always
I get
felt
it.
Like that.
I can see that.
So that's just me. Who, friend?
The time has come. Okay. Disclaimer, because I'm going to get crucified. I almost don't even want to say it.
I'm shocked that you don't say it.
I know she's going to have a hive. No, it's not Beyonce. Don't kill me. Disclaimer. This person's amazing.
I'm going to laugh if it's somebody I agree with, but go on.
They made an impact. They're a musician, so this isn't. I hate you for this question.
Hate Claude for this question.
Claude, I hate you for this question. I don't connect.
Just give it to us, friend.
I've never
give
been
it
able
to us, friend.
Connect.
Give it to us, friend.
To Tony Braxton.
Oh my God. Tony!
I'm sorry.
The Braxton. Tony the Braxton.
But not even truffle butter.
But my thing is, it doesn't mean anything about her as an artist.
Right.
Clearly, she's made an impact and she's way better than a lot of people that are big. But when we're talking about connecting, like where I'm sitting with the album with my headphones and feeling, I've never been able to connect. Why are you laughing? Dustin's over here with his face in his hand.
Tony, though.
I think it's just, I don't know. It's just, I never connected.
Okay. I don't even care either.
Is Tony your favorite?
No.
Oh.
That's not, I'm getting ready to sit with you. Oh. I'm going to get right with you. And it ain't Tony Braxton. This is definitely going to ruffle some feathers.
Oh, no.
But it's not that. It reinforces what we're talking about, right? Where you can respect somebody as a legitimate talent.
Absolutely.
And
but you either
you
connect
it,
or you
but
don't.
But you just never connected with like some of their music. Because this person does have some songs that I like love with all of my heart. And I think are indicative of the reason why she is who she was.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't never no Whitney Houston fan like that. Like real talk. I just wasn't.
My heart just.
I wasn't. Now. Do I know at the same time that she could out-sing everybody living and
yes,
dead?
Lord.
Absolutely.
Right. I get
right
it.
Now, today, she can sing better than some people on the charts. Okay?
Yeah.
Today.
Even before
she can,
her time.
But like, even after. You know what I'm saying? But, and Whitney Houston, that is an otherworldly talent that is like out of the world insane. I get it. And I respect her.
Asante's
for real, I respect her. But what... You think I'm at home listening to I'm Your Baby Tonight. Now, some of the other songs,
that's
though.
That's my song.
I was about to say, what
I'm like, I am.
I did a breakdown.
You know, if we in Mexico and they play it at the club, I'm like, I'll dance. But am I, like, putting that on, like, this is my
yeah,
shit?
You're going to want to dance with somebody. No.
But she has other songs, though.
I get it.
That
get
were,
it.
Like, amazing.
You're not, like, on the train blasting Whitney Houston
right,
in your headphones.
Right.
I
can
it.
Get it if you play it out and I'm like, okay, you know what? I can remember being in a club and, like, recently and they played I Want to Dance with Somebody and I was sitting there. But I was sitting there and I was like, I totally understand, and I bet you her that power. When this came out at during that era, this was probably the shit. But that's only because I'm mature enough to look at it like that. It's right. not because I heard that song. Like, you know what I mean?
But that's why I get annoyed when people are like, such and such artist is trash or whatever. Because I'm like, that, you know, that's subjective.
Very much so.
It's most artists that people think can't sing are the ones I like, funny enough. Because they have... Most, not all, but...
Y'all know where I'm at.
Right,
so,
oh.
So, I mean, you know, they talk shit. They talk about my girl all the time. You know what I'm saying? They talk about her all the time, but it has nothing to do with that.
I'm not going there. That's right. But what I'm saying is...
I'm so glad there are no cameras in here, because this shit right here is amazing.
No, but even her, mm-hmm. shall remain nameless, mm-hmm. I feel something so intense
exactly.
with her albums, like... There is a frequency. It's not even a vocal ability.
That's what it's about.
It's a frequency.
Thank
you. And I think it's either going to hit or it's not. And my issue, and not my issue, but my connection with Tony just wasn't there. And I always thought, wow, she's so beautiful. And I love her story and like her sisters. And I think it's an amazing career. But I'm not sitting at home listening to, you know, what is it? 7 Whole Days. And it's just not...
Yeah, everything is not for everybody.
It's not.
And it's not. And it's
okay.
nothing against her. We know Toni Braxton can sing her ass
powerhouse.
Off.
Powerhouse.
And plays
the piano.
Person next to her, probably. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, but it just never connected for you.
Right.
Totally understand it.
Let that be a lesson to all of us.
Look, that's
why
I thought that was...
You for everybody,
that's
and
why
that's
I thought
totally
that
fine.
That was such a great icebreaker.
But it's scary. Like, it my was, hands are sweaty.
Well, you
like,
know, it was hard for me when he first asked me this question, because in my mind, I look at artists and musicians, and I like a lot of music. Like, people think I like people that are complete trash, and I'm just like...
Same
oh.
here. I like what Claude actually makes fun of me all the time, because he'd be like, you like vibe artists. You don't even like singers. I'm like...
Look,
duh.
I like anything from the vibe artists to the trap soul trash, the ones that sound all alike. Like, I feel like everybody has something to say. It's just that you might connect to some people more than you connect to others.
Yeah.
And some people are worth a revisit just because of the production or because of the actual story that they're telling. You always connect to something, but sometimes you just don't connect. And you might not have heard the right song, or you might not have seeing the person at the right place to say the right thing to connect the message, and
or the time
you just
in your
miss
life.
Out.
Actually,
yeah.
I have a
oh,
question
yeah.
too. How is there an artist that you didn't connect with that now you're like, yo, I get it now, like all of a sudden?
Bryson Tiller.
Oh, you were
totally.
Telling us
I,
that.
I remember we mm-hmm. just talked about that. Who else is somebody that I? Because that happens to me. I ain't gonna front. Because a lot of times. Well, not a lot of times. I used to be immature, and like when everybody was on to something,
you're
I'd be
like, I don't want to like it.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who I have come around with. So, yeah.
And sometimes you have to, in my experience, I have to like experience something, mm-hmm. and then you'll hear a song that's been around, and you won't like feel it. The way, you know, like you feel it in a whole new way because you understand, like either because it happened to you or you're older now and yeah. you can kind of like process it and like from your emotional body. You know what I mean? So it depends on where your head space is at, too, because I'm trying to think of what artists that I did not connect with before. It'll come to me.
I can't think of an artist, but I can think of like plenty of projects that I've listened to where
that
I was,
too, yeah.
Like when I had to revisit Brandy's 211, because when it first came out, I was like, oh, the singles are cute. And then I was like, she ain't doing no promo. I'm not gonna listen to this. And everyone was like, it's good though. Yeah. And then I went back and I revisited that. I was like, damn, this is a good ass album. I was right about that promo though.
Tinashe.
I
y'all know I wrote
her
completely off.
I'm still trying to convert some folks
things.
On Tinashe.
I said horrible things about her that I really regret to this day, because I recognize literally her talent now. Mm. And I get her. I get her as an artist. Now there's some changes I would like to make.
Absolutely.
I would like for her neuroplasticity to get cracking.
Absolutely.
But do I get it now? Yes. Do I regret the things that I said? No. Yes. So, like, you know.
Dusted.
Yeah.
Woo, this was a heart-racing challenge.
Right. Sorry Woo! For them toes we stepped Woo! On, but it is what it is.
How do you want it? So, does anybody, who have y'all been listening to? Any listens? Any? Ooh, we should call this part, like, every time I do the music segment, if I'm not featuring a bunch of artists, it should be, like, the listens lately.
Listens lately. Hashtag.
Hashtag listens lately. These are the listens lately.
Let's see.
I've been listening. Oh, shout out to everybody and their mama that were telling me to listen to Black Tuxedo. I checked out they had a project by DJ Charisma Presents Tap In. That was the one that I heard like a few months ago. But they just recently dropped a new mixtape I want to say album, but it's on their SoundCloud. It's called ABA, Art by Association, and it's Black Tuxedo, but it's BLAQ and then Tuxedo. They're kind of on that same like vibey sample, trap soul wavelength, but some of the songs is really, really dope. So give them a little listen. And I'm also listening to Bryson Tiller's new project.
I heard it, yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I like Run Me Dry.
Run Me Dry?
That's my favorite. Because I think, I feel like Afrobeat is the next wave. And please don't get me wrong, I don't want people to be offended. I know Afrobeat is a wave all on its own.
Right.
And it does not mean that because the Americans are...
Oh, y'all just now got that.
Exactly.
And y'all want to say,
let me
know.
Not be that person.
We remember
like,
last...
Oh, it's a wave.
Look, we remember last summer that AOJ song. Right. 9-4-6-5-6. Like, we know it's a thing.
Right. And Wizkid been out here.
Right.
So I'm not...
Oh, and you know Drake just did another song with Wizkid.
Really?
Yes.
Cute.
I wonder if they're going to do a whole
so
thing.
So don't let me be a mindless American by saying that. But what I'm saying is a wave in the sense that now everybody is starting to use Afrobeat production.
Right.
Omarion came out with a track.
Don't you laugh every time I say it.
And then Run Me Dry is that the Bryson Tiller song that kind of has an Afrobeat influence. And Drake been putting out these Afrobeat songs, I think, the past two albums, right?
Dude, has Drake and Bryson Tiller worked together?
Not that I think
they should just do something together. Just stop doing all this apart. And well, actually, I don't want Drake to do too many things with too many people. But you know,
say whatever, just don't lie to me. I love Bryson Tiller's music now. I'm telling you, I didn't
it's
get it
cute.
At first, but yeah. I love it now.
I like the project. It seems like how I said, More Life was like the B sides for Drake's Views.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is like the same thing because it's still like along the lines of trap soul, but something new, I guess.
But he makes, what's the song where he's like, even B and J are going through it? I don't know why I laugh every time he says that, because I could imagine Beyonce cringing, like, little boy.
Right. You don't shut
not
your ass up.
Put my marriage.
You don't know what we're going through, and you don't know if your career going to make it. So think about which one of these things you care about.
Right. Do not compare my marriage to your Twitter, honey.
Hello.
Right.
That's what I imagine her thinking
Every
time I hear.
There is this artist named One Oak. He put this song out a long time ago, but it's called Lost and Found. But I've been playing that a lot more lately.
I'm like,
it's like
1-OAK.
Like, I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds familiar.
Oh, and I've been listening to Lil Yachty.
I tried.
I'm only on the first track. I liked it, though.
He's got
the first song.
I'm not going to lie. The album sounds the way that it looks on the cover. Like, have you seen the cover?
Mm-hmm. With the kids.
With everybody looking different. Like,
I did like that.
He does a whole bunch of different vibes. Like, I'm like, is he supposed to be, you know how people are going to be, is he supposed to be a rapper or what? Because he does a lot of that auto-tune sing thing.
The one you played me, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say who I think it sounds like.
It sounded like it was going backwards.
The problem is we putting too many artists on nowadays and everybody is easily put on because they sound like somebody else. Like, we're not giving flowers
which
to people.
Which is the usual with the music right. industry.
But I've noticed.
They chase formulas. They right. don't put on creatives.
But every time we even go on and try to promote like a lot of these independent artists, like they don't get to move a lot. Like even me sitting up here last week talking about India. Like
right.
people know who of
oh,
her, but
song.
She still isn't like put on because she hasn't put out that record to sound like somebody else that's out right now, which
right.
sucks.
Right, yeah. I mean,
that's the perseverance of a true artist who's
absolutely.
Really being themselves. Because she makes, India Shawn makes great music, and I don't even be chiming in like that. So y'all know it's
I
true.
Love her.
Like, she really, Galaxies is a beautiful song.
I've had it on repeat. I know my neighbor's
oh my
tired of me.
God.
It's so good. I've actually been on my white radio.
Ooh.
Feist is back out.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm a huge fan of hers. And Washed Out is back
oh,
out.
Oh, I was listening to Washed Out last
mm-hmm.
night.
So definitely
you
check them
die.
Out.
You and die, friend.
Right? Definitely check them out because that was a nice vibe. Switch up. That's it. I'm trying to look through. Rita Ora. Let me stop.
Yeah, stop.
No. No, I actually didn't.
What you on, listen. Napster? Shit.
I'm literally scrolling through my Spotify new releases. But
let me tell you who I've been revisiting lately.
Who?
The one, Sincerely Jane, aka Janelle Monae, before she was the poppin' ass actress that we know her as.
Crystal has me revisiting that project.
Which one?
On Twitter, I asked.
The Arc Android?
I asked, what song do you go? What's your go-to song where you need to feel a natural high? And Crystal said Electric Lady.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that made me go back.
So
yeah.
Go listen to the albums before that.
Okay.
Specifically the Arc Android, because you know everything before was split up into like suites. Like the Arc Android was suites like 3 and 4 together, I think. But there's a song called Say You'll Go, which I think you'd really enjoy if you haven't heard it.
It's like
the second to the last track on the album.
I used to love Sincerely Jane.
Oh my God.
That was my jam.
My audition on it.
I don't know.
When she was like, never mind, I can't recreate covers in person. I don't know why I did that. That's why I stopped. I was like, no.
You would have to do like 7 poses. You know, she loved putting a bunch of herself on the cover. And I love it too. It's always so great to look at.
Popping. Like,
remember that one video she had with, was it Erykah Badu?
Queen?
Yeah, and it was like a bunch of her in the video.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a moment. It was like binge watching. I got lost in the damn video when I was watching.
Trying to figure out which Jane you wanted.
All them black and white things spinning around. You know, I was being hypnotized. Like,
and then the music had you. Wow, 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 wow.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, friend.
Well, that's it, right?
That's it for the music, man.
That's it. Listen
to the music you can.
Thanks again to Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin, for supporting this week's podcast. Up to 80% of black men and women experience razor bumps, which shocked me because women were experiencing those razor bumps. And up to 30% of all men and women experience razor bumps as well. You don't have to be a part of the statistic anymore when you start shaving smarter with Bevel. 9 out of 10 Bevel customers continue to come back because they see the results. A clean shave that leaves their skin smooth and reduces razor bumps and irritation. You know your old man is tired of that same last-minute gift you get him on Father's Day every year. So surprise him with something he'll appreciate. Get Dad the Bevel Shaving Kit and tell him it's only for his head. Right now, you can get a $30 off of a 90-day supply of the Bevel Shaving System when you visit getbevel.com/friendzone. That's getbevel.com/friendzone to get $30 off a 90-day supply of the Bevel Shaving System. Shave smarter with Bevel.
Now we move on to
TV Land.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
I keep hearing Kevin Hart.
This week, you know, we're trying a little bit different of an approach, right? And so I want to discuss Laura Govan's Fix My Life. Laura Govan's episode of Iyanla's Fix My Life. Now,
oh my Lord.
For those of y'all who don't know, yes, you can.
Before you get started, I have a request.
Okay.
I would like 2 quotes from Iyanla before you start. Just 2 surefire things that she said that were crazy this week.
On Iyanla's, yes. On this week's episode? Okay. Here we go. And they're related. On her way out from day one, Iyanla was leaving the kitchen of the home that they were filming in, and she looked over her shoulder and told Gloria, and show up tomorrow looking like somebody's mother. Not with all that stuff on. Show up tomorrow looking like somebody's mother. Right?
Because
you know Laura Govan. Yes, you know Laura Govan is like, she's into her like fashion and style now. She's been working with Daniel Hawkins, who has magic hands.
Been into fashion
Whatever.
And style.
She's working with Daniel Hawkins.
Friend, she used to post pictures of herself dressed up, like next to regular shit, trying to.
Or like in the kitchen. Remember that time the skillet was empty? Remember that time she said she was cooking,
but she also looks totally different,
right?
Because
absolutely.
I remember I haven't watched since she's like who she is now. I'm like, what's the right word?
Since that first season,
but I do remember the first season, which is where I actually watched the show, and I'm like, that's the same person,
right?
Wow. That's a glow
up. A long way, baby.
But she looks great. I think she looks
beautiful. She was the first. She was Mama June before Mama June was Mama June.
Wow, not Mama June.
Body transformation.
Shade, but yes.
But like, sidebar, her hair was dope as hell on the Yanla. Her hair looked great. But anyway, Yanla told her she don't give a damn about your hair. So anyway, but what was funny, the second quote that you were asking, the next day when she came back, she attempted to kind of address Yanla telling her that before she left. And she was like, I am a damn good mother. I mean, she said it with her chest, the old and the new. Like, she said it with her chest.
Wow.
But, right? But Yanla then tells her, So that's what you heard. Mm-hmm. Right after Laura, she lets Laura have her moment and quote unquote check it. And she goes, So you know, at some point, either you're going to get caught up in how your feelings being hurt. She's like, now which one is it? And then she looks at, you ready for the quote? Asante, this is where you come in. She looks at Laura and she says, now, there's a dramatic pause after that, right? After she basically tells her, girl, I don't give a fuck about nothing you was just talking about. Then she looks at her and says, I'm not the one, baby. Just like that. Asante, you know how her posture is, dog. I'm not the one, baby.
I'm watching that tonight.
Watch it tonight. Tonight. But,
I have a question.
Yes.
Has she fixed anyone's life?
Yeah, but it's never the celebrities. Where Yanla drops the ball is with the celebrities, because obviously they have their own thing going on, so her approach needs to be a little differently. When she works with people who are not famous, like regular, everyday people, the focus is more on the work and not on, like, what scandal is she about to talk about, how is she going to fix their life, so it's a little
different. You think with celebs, she focuses more on the ratings?
I don't think it's her focusing on the ratings. I think it's just only so much she can do
right
with a public figure.
Right.
You know what I mean? As far as really digging deep, because the comfort levels won't be there.
Right,
you
I
know?
Get it.
So it's a different show when you watch her handling, like, everyday people.
I guess she just makes me nervous. Like, she seems so...
Well, hell, you don't want to be called a goddamn gun tonight.
She's, for people that are fragile, like, she seems so aggressive.
Like right. A bull in a china cabinet.
Legit, though. Yeah. Like, she seems aggressive. And if she's opening these wounds, I'm like, do they have aftercare? Like... does she just,
her
like...
her old ass using Betadine on the wound she opening up. Anyway, all her cuts is yellow. Anyway...
I don't know. That show.
I'm looking around. I'm looking for anybody else.
Is anybody else here?
But there were a lot of revelations that came out in this episode. Hmm. And although I was ready, because although I like the new Laura, you know what I'm saying? I recognize the change. Y'all know how I am. I never forget season 1, episode 1. I just always remember what you first presented me with. And she came into the show getting into a physical fight, she came onto Basketball Wives LA is what I mean when I say the show, which is when we first met her. And she came onto the show already under the stigma of being someone who was rumored to have had an affair with Shaq. So there was drama between Shawnee and her sister relative to that. So then Laura comes onto the show and she's ushered in from a very negative note. She starts a fist fight with Malaysia and loses. But she comes in fighting. She was just a mess. Sloppy.
And losing.
She was a sloppy mess. She reminded me of Sam's and Lean On Me. Remember when Joe Clark called Sam this slovenly sloppy boy? That's Laura Gauvin.
Oh, my God.
Now she looks like Bruno Mars. She got the best pompadour you've ever seen in your life. And she really looks like she could hit a 24-karat magic routine. But the show was great television. And we found out a lot of the reason for her season.
She's got good legs.
She, her father.
Right?
Her father is a trip, and she's messed up her relationships with her kid's dad, with every man that's been in her life is jacked up because of her father. Her father put a whole bunch of pressure on her because she was a really athletic young lady, and so he made her like his, you know, his sports kid, and he just really instilled this drive to win and fight for everything, a sense of competition in every area of her life.
Mm.
He was really harsh with her.
Mm.
And he also was hell around the house. So coupled with that, when I am around, you know, I'm drilling you, I'm coaching you, essentially. Coupled with him staying gone for 3 and 4 days, dogging her mom out, all that shit. That's what she saw about men. And then the bombshell, which we had heard rumored. This is why watching the shows, sometimes you have to wait years and years and years. But you always, the more these people want to be visible, the more you get to the bottom of what really happened. And all these years later, we find out that her and Gloria's relationship is broken because she accused her sister of sleeping with her ex-fiance, like her kid's dad.
Damn.
But the kicker is nobody in the family believes her, and so it's created this huge rift.
Oh, she still thinks it's
true. She still thinks it. And the family, the mother and father sat there on the show and said, we don't believe her because we asked both of them. They both deny it. We think she made this up. And it goes back to her being molested at 13.
Oh, wow.
And telling them, and instead of them taking action on it and like helping her. They did not believe her. She said that they knew that something was going on. And so they focused on that by saying, no, you're lying. We didn't know. And they never addressed what happened. They just argued with her for years and years about her lying about them knowing.
Oh, goodness.
So it's a lot of shit under there. So do she look like Bruno? Yeah. But am I going to laugh as hard now?
No. Right.
And it's because of this, she became a little bit more human to me after watching this. So it's jokes there, but y'all need to watch it for like the real shit, because it just goes to show you never really know what happened or got somebody to the place where they at. I ain't saying don't slap them. I'm just saying you never know what got them there to deserve.
I mean, I guess that's the upside of Ayanla's show, is that it's showing like deeper layers of, you know, of people that we kind of, you know, that end up on the Shade Room, and you know, you kind of almost they become like caricatures almost, where people kind of disconnect from their humanity, like you said. Yeah. So it is cool that you get to see them like this, but I still think it's like, you know, Ayanna calling people gutter snipe
to their face. She called Nephi a bitch.
What?
Yeah, she's like, and Nephi is a bitch. But the way she did it, the way she finessed it and had a nothing but net 3-point shot, you know what
she
I'm saying?
She cleaned it up.
She said that the personality Nephi was a bitch, but Nefertiria, which is Nephi's real name,
is not.
Girl, you just trying to call me on my name because I'm getting on your nerves. Like, that's what that is. Everybody knows it, but whatever. I still like Yanla.
Yanla.
Yanni.
So, but everybody watch that. It just makes you think. Watch it so we can laugh at the things that are obviously funny, but also like,
is it weekly?
So we can talk about it. Yeah, but the season finale is next week.
Who is it?
It's about Pulse in Orlando. She's going to be on the scene at Orlando at the Pulse nightclub where the massacre occurred in Orlando. Yeah,
with like survivors.
My
goodness! Wow.
So that's going to be good.
How many episodes was it? I feel like it was short.
Yeah, don't it feel short? But then some of them were like 3-episode arcs and 4-episode arcs.
Got you.
You know, and I feel cheated because I like Ayanla better when we don't have to wait the next week to find out what the fuck happened. You didn't take us there emotionally. We want to know today. Otherwise, we will. Now, that's what they need to use for the study is fucking Ayanla Fix My Life. You put the niggas in front of Ayanla Fix My Life for 12 hours straight, I guarantee you all the numbers going to be up at the top. Are you depressed? Yes! But this time we'll know why. So,
I'm dead.
Have you watched? Did you watch Housewives of Potomac?
I did.
Anything better this week?
No. But I will say this. I'm so glad you brought this up.
How was Monique?
Talking. I'm so glad you brought this up. Giselle.
Wasn't she on The Breakfast Club?
She was. It was glorious to watch Charlamagne roll her like some dice. She really thought that they was going to really know who she was and care about her. And, you know, she's going to come with some relevance.
She thought just one of them.
So she goes and sits Charlamagne and then let her.
Like, why is she on The Breakfast Club?
I'm going to tell you who Giselle is. And watching The Breakfast Club interview gave me some insight. Giselle is the person who, you know how you go to high school with somebody who 25 years later, they still in the same city, still concerned about all the things that happened in high school, still, you know, moving by that sense of are you cool or not. Still, high school still runs them. Giselle is the same thing, but it's her college years. Mm. Her being in this sorority and having a little bit of pool and
peaked.
Being a girl who, you know, I guess was attractive to certain people at college. And it was right after high school. She definitely peaked and left it there because she perked right up as soon as she found out Envy went to Hampton. And she started talking about the dorm rooms and all this stuff. And then all these stories about when she was hazing the girls. And her Erica Lyles was one of the girls she had to haze. And college is what defined Giselle. What makes it even worse, remember, she was that girl in college. And then she went on to marry Jamal Bryant, that pastor. So she had that first lady shit on a mega church level.
Mm.
So the combination of two, it was a toxic combination. So to lose that, she's now in a position where she has to try to save face, and she's on TV. So it's like all her, it's like her literally every week, it's a Mortal Kombat fight of Giselle versus her insecurities. Fight! Every week, like that's what you see. And it was funny this week. What makes it funny is that she's so unaware of how country she is, and she really thinks she'd be fucking it up, like killing it. And this week, she walked into Karen Huger's home, who was doing a photo shoot in a big white dress shirt with an undone tie holding the front of the hat, because we've never, and high heels and stockings, because we've never seen that concept before. But anyway, so Giselle comes over to help her with the photo shoot. I'm so glad you brought this up. She has on, are you ready for this? A full body, skin tight leopard cat suit, black shoes.
Is this a Halloween?
No. Black shoes.
No, what is, it is.
A black jacket with a collar up that on the back has a big lace cutout detail on the back, right? Collar up, top knot, no hair added, I think, so it looks... It looks famished. You know what I'm saying? And she was walking stiff and she was posing. And she really, you could tell she really thought she was like fucking it up.
Famished.
She had on like prom earrings. Everything clashes and it's always so much. Her confessional look. She had on bright pink eyeshadow and a bright pink loose top and big like horribly
I've seen
toned.
That look.
Like, do they even use toner when they come
I've
in
I've seen
head?
That look. It's awful.
She looked, horrible. And she's literally saying, you know, I'm a class act. And so I'm just going, you know, I'm going to stay over here and look cute. Mm-hmm. Hi, bye. Hi, bye. Who's leaving? Because I can point out a few names. If you need a potential candidate or who needs to make an exit, I can point, starting with your makeup artist. Starting with your stylist. Giselle, she is in dire need of a stylist. And what
I
makes
want
it
Dustin
so
to
bad.
Go on the fashion police.
I'm telling you, what makes it so bad is that the arrogance.
Way you describe outfits.
The things that she says about the other people and the way that she goes after their looks. And I'm just like, do you realize? Okay? That you look like the power was out this morning.
No.
But yeah. So yes, I watched Potomac. And Ashley had me rolling. Yeah. Ashley had me rolling when she was arguing with that husband. Come on in here. You want to be a bully? Come on in here. Because I'm ready for you.
To her husband.
To her old ass husband. Yes.
She got an Australian husband.
Who looked like a limo driver. But he's not. They own a restaurant. Don't he look like a limo driver? Taxing license. TLAC. Remember the like on everybody's. On everybody's tag. He looked like a driver, man. He got a fleet. Not like a restaurant. Speaking of fleet, Ashley's husband was caught. He was caught on one of
them. What a segue.
Sidebar. Ashley's husband was caught on one of the gay dating apps. Bucket to the naked. And he's old and everything. But it ain't never came up on the show. But they've been arguing a whole lot more this season.
And they did make that thing of talking about him grabbing somebody's butt at that party.
Yeah, remember?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But why would you do that? Like, your spot isn't going to be blown. I don't get people
I guess he
thinking.
Thought gay people weren't going to tell, but apparently he did the boy bad. There was a Cartier watch that had been purchased overseas or some hotel receipts. It was all that stuff. Oh, I'm supposed to be whispering that part. There was a Cartier watch, hotel receipts. It was all that stuff. But anyway, Housewives of Potomac was good this week. I don't know. There's just moments.
I really hate when they bring their like their friends as like their backup. And Giselle always brings like
the worst type of gay people.
I wanted to start that statement
off.
She
does. And she says she makes it about the person being gay. It's right. Not us saying that I'm bringing my gay friend because, you know, he's shady. And
right.
So Giselle.
I so wanted to start that off
like
with,
as
I hope
accessories.
I want to start this off with, I hope I never become that gay accessory on
TV. But is
TV.
It me or is that a reality show
that's
trend?
Every time I feel
one.
Like.
It's a trend. What franchise can you think of where the leads didn't have gay men as accessories?
That's how they introduce gays to on these shows.
It's so ridiculous. Even not even just reality though, even sitcoms.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Sex in the
like
City.
Across, oh shit, yeah, which I've just been watching.
Love and Hip Hop New York.
When she was like, my gay is marrying your gay, right? On that episode, that blew my mind.
Some of them cast members.
I, you know what? And I was sitting here like.
Anyway, yes. But yeah, so that just, it was just a lot going on for me. And that was funny. Also, Robin and Juan's relationship.
Sidebar.
Here's what we have to talk about this week. We'll get to them next because it really don't matter.
We'll tell her about that
after
the show.
I have to get this off of my chest and then we can move on.
Okay.
T.I. and Tiny, that final episode, that final you conversation that they had.
You should watch that.
Let me just say.
Get annoyed?
Oh my God, are you? And here's the thing. I'm always about people being their authentic selves and like standing in their shit and owning it. And that's why I was driven so. The way that T.I. was dancing and skirting around the real issues and placing blame and concocting stories and coming up with shit to try to say Tamika Tiny Harris did too, that contributed to the, you know, detriment of their marriage. It was really tough to watch. It was. And I'm the one who roots for the niggas all the time. Do the nigga shit and get away with it. But watching that blatant, like, there was no balance.
And the way
there
Tiny was
no
handling
respect.
It, I really
finally,
had a...
she was speaking up. Right, Asante? Finally, it was good to see her say what we've been thinking all along, but T.I. was literally manipulating her. He was literally doing things in the conversation that made no sense. Literally ignoring all the history, literally ignoring all the public displays of loyalty that we've seen her express to him, and caught her a distraction on the radio, flaunting these women around that he's dating, all this shit in her face. And then blatantly telling her, well, maybe I'm just a better best friend than I am a husband. He just doesn't want to be with her anymore. And I guess, and I don't have a problem with somebody being in that place because that's a very real place to be. Sometimes you just don't want to be with a person anymore. But to me, there's a way to do it with some dignity and some respect and some reverence for the history and the things that, you know, we watched Tiny take a charge for him. We watched that. Mm-hmm. We watched her not leave him when he went back to jail for dumb shit. We saw that. We watched him and her. We watched these women that he's in relationships with go back and forth disrespecting her on social media, which I hate that. Shout out to I Think Mark, friend of the show, whose Twitter name is currently Social Media, which I thought was hilarious.
Social Media.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, just to see that, it was really tough to Amazing. Watch. I felt so sorry for them. And I just feel hoodwinked. I feel like they built this show based on the premise of being this family unit and this blended family that could be relatable for today's world and the realities of what family life is today. And I feel like the whole time T.I., everybody else on the show was on support and on board with that vision. And I feel like the whole time T.I. was being a nigga behind the scenes. I didn't like the way that he crushed her dreams, not her dreams, because she's doing it, obviously, but crushed her when she told him that the group had gotten back together and she was going on tour and taking the baby, Eris Harris, who is so cute.
Beautiful.
Or maybe
beautiful.
Just a baby. Most babies are cute.
They have great kids.
They do have great kids, and they have smart kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It was just tough to watch. Everybody that watched it, I just felt sorry for Tiny. I felt really, really
Was he
sorry
gaslighting
for
her, where someone makes you think that the craziness you're feeling isn't real?
In a way.
Can I just say
this
to you?
It was just embarrassing to me. I felt bad for her.
Do you want to know what she did to him, Fran?
What she did?
Yeah.
What?
She was seen with the enemy.
She was seen with the enemy?
You remember that? Well, you probably don't. But a while back, Tiny was seen out with Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tip was, like, mad about that. Like, she's talking about his infidelities and all sorts of stuff. And he talking about, well, you up here being like out with somebody I don't mess with. She's like, you cheated on me with someone I introduced you to you, like
hired,
to work for you. Like
I hired.
Like she's supposed to be working for you. Like
for
the,
me. Tiny like, hired that
the,
girl.
The help. And you talking about who I was seen with. And this was after he had already been cheating on her multiple times. And you want to throw that thing back in her face.
It was hard
but
to watch.
You know what? Men are really, really interesting with that because they can cheat 50 times. And then the one time you cheat, if you stay for those 50 times, but when you cheat back, they're like crying and hurt.
Hell yeah.
And she didn't even cheat. And she didn't even cheat. Through all that, she didn't even damn cheat. That's why I was like, this is some bullshit to watch T.I. sit up here and go on and carry on like that.
I mean, seriously, it was, and this coming from me, y'all.
She didn't have all this man's kids.
When I was
kids.
Younger, I was in a relationship where we would do that, like tit for tat. Like, you cheated, I cheat back, and you cheat. And I remember the first time I cheated back, he cried. And I remember looking at him like, I'm cheating because you did. And he was like, it's not the same. He said it's not the same thing.
Well, did you go? Well, it was good. So are you leaving now?
But I mean, that's just Man.
It's just tough to watch. So everybody watch it.
Tell men me, are a mess.
Don't tell me what you think. Go to iTunes. I don't even want to remember it.
Get Tiny. What
it
was the fuck just you hard to do? Watch.
Yes, Get Tiny song, her amazing song, What the Fuck You Gonna Do?
Which still not. So
oh my God.
Still not.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, she has so much problem, but that's okay. Because you know what? When blessings go, when prayers go up, blessings come down. Ain't that what they say? Because I know Tiny been praying. And you see what's happening for her.
She's still with him?
No, she filed for divorce. They're not divorced yet, good. But she filed.
Good. And
I know it was hard for her to do that.
And well, she has a family,
it.
Yeah.
You can see it on her face on the show. I want you to watch this scene, but a part of me feels like you don't even need to see this shit.
I mean, I can already imagine. Like, yeah. Not to sound like Tumblr, but that patriarchy where men just act like they can do whatever. I don't even want to watch that.
She, with like, all his big words. At least when I do it, it'd be funny. You know what I'm saying? You know, okay, boy, but it'd be funny. No, I'm just saying. But anyway, but no. Tiny's being blessed. You see Ed Sheeran just credited her and Candy
That's
on
right.
The Shape of You. So they're going to be making Here We Go Again with No Scrubs all fucking
and she's
over
still
again.
Still getting checks from
this
No Scrubs.
This is a
scrubs.
Huge pop hit that will live on
yeah,
forever.
Of course.
So things happen. She got a beautiful new baby. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And the tour coming up.
A tour, Escape. Got. I feel like the very, like, she had another magical thing happen to her business wise with that songwriting credit for The Shape of You.
Her neurotransmitter is turned on right now. And she needs to run with it. Because
so,
her being down, you know, worried about him. Probably.
I think this is really the last comment. Right? But I think it's something to be said. Like, you just naturally feel like you're on Tiny's side. And I think it's because she's just, say what you want about how she looks to you or whatever. But Tiny is a likable person. And I think that's why everybody is friends with her.
Right. I like Candy. So once I saw that, you know, her and Tiny were still friends, I was like,
oh my God.
Something to her.
And like the fact that she's so loyal, like you can't help but fall in love with Tiny. You know what I mean? Even the extra looks and stuff, like it becomes charming and endearing at a certain point. And so to see that conversation, it just was hard because I'm like, it just was hard. And I was conflicted because I'm Dustin. So, of course, I wanted, like,
Dustin.
I'm like, where's the balance? If you're going to do that shit, like,
balance.
But that's it.
Well, thank you. Now we move on to see what you guys have to talk about for us. Let's move on to asking for a friend.
Mm-hmm. It's time asking for a friend. This week on Asking for a Friend. Don't forget to email us to friendzoneofloudspeakersnetwork.com. The subject of this one is musty-brained coworker.
Wow.
Hey, guys. Please proofread as I am currently sitting across from the above-mentioned assailant, trying my best to be calm as I type this shit.
He live.
We live, baby. There is this melanin-deficient coworker that is constantly trying to sabotage me at work.
Dead.
I've been working here 10 months, she's been here 7 years, and I'm trying everything in my power not to go off on her. Shady situation number one.
Why? You got your 90 days in.
She's supposed to train me to use certain systems. She is helpful, but only while my boss is present. When my boss is out of the office, she half-assed trained me, and now I'm left struggling to figure out shit on my own, which I can do, but it's just annoying and waste my damn time. I brought it up to my boss, and thankfully he got her ass together. Shady situation number two. When I'm out on vacation, she's supposed to cover for me, and complete my work. When I return, she ain't done a damn thing. So I'm left here late nights busting my ass catching up on work that should have been done by her. On top of that, I find out through other colleagues I'm cool with that she's talking behind my back. She's mentioned she feels some type of way about my new desk location in the office. I didn't ask for the seat. My boss designated it to me. She's salty, I get it, but that doesn't have shit to do with me. Shady situation number three, the last straw. This bitch just admitted she been going through my desk to look for paperwork she could not locate. The paperwork is laid out clearly on my desk. Not to mention, I CC her in every email, so why the fuck is she going through my shit? I did not say any of this to her and gave her the straight face emoji look, and now I'm here typing this email to y'all. This bitch is trying me and I've had enough. The great news, though, is that she's leaving my job for good in 2 weeks. But I want to be petty, especially since I just found out about shady situation number three. Do I let go and let God or find a diabolical way to get her ass together? Also, how do you guys keep your cool with shady ass colleagues you work/work with directly? Love y'all.
Well, I'm sure you listened to the show a couple weeks ago when we made our return from our 2-week break, entitled Let's Talk About It. It is essentially a master class or a trashster class. And being petty with
capitalize off of
it,
please.
Mm-hmm. Right. We started it here. But yeah, so that's what I have to say about dealing with petty coworkers. But I think in your case, you only got 2 weeks left with this bitch and then she's out of here. So I say wait the 2 weeks out and at the end of the shift, go out in the parking lot and use every word that you shouldn't and get it off your chest. That's my suggestion. Don't do nothing until she's already gone, though. Until she does not work there anymore. Then cuss her ass out. Shit. And actually, don't even cuss her out. On a petty note, moon her. Let's take it back to the old school shit, the basics. Why don't we, people need to start mooning people recently? Again. Moon her.
I mooned somebody recently because of you, actually.
Thank you.
Because you mooned someone?
Didn't it feel, it was liberating, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
Like, bitch. Dustin, this is the most humiliating
literally
thing.
2 or 3 years ago, Dustin was talking about bringing this shit back. And he didn't do it to me, but he did like slap his butt or some shit. I said, what the fuck is your problem? But it took me back to my childhood. So ever since then, I've been obsessed with, you know, wherever I could, if I could.
Moon a motherfucker. I'm going to start mooning niggas. I'm telling you, moon, this is the hashtag, moon niggas 2017. Yeah. That's the new move. Mooning people. So moon the bitch on the last day. That's what I said. Yeah. Even poot if she close enough.
Oh my God. No. Not poot.
Break
though.
Wind. Break right. Wind. Break wind if she close enough.
I guess I'll agree with Dustin. Wait till she.
Moon her?
No. Not the moon or poo.
I knew she was gone.
Wait till she's out of there and say something. But I also feel because she is going to be gone in 2 weeks, right. Just say something now if you feel like it.
True.
Because it doesn't
don't
really
even
matter.
Say nothing.
I mean, ideally, it'd be nice for you to just not care because she's leaving. So. It's one of those things I always say, if you ask yourself, is this going to matter next week or next month? If the answer is no, then don't waste your time. But I know that your pettiness is probably flaring up because that was a lot of fouls. But I say if it feels that bad, just say something now. But, you know, you also don't want to compromise the fact that you're still working there.
Right, exactly.
For someone else who's not going to be there in 2 weeks. So just consider that, too.
I agree.
What do you say, Asante?
I say kill the bitch with kindness and be aggressively passive as well as she's leaving. Like, girl, I am so happy that you are leaving.
Oh
yeah, you've
God.
Been getting on my nerves. So, like, and just every day, just passively remind her that yeah, it is a good thing that she's leaving, but also leave her with a bad thing that she had been doing.
Make
so that
her
way,
uncomfortable.
Hell yeah, yeah. She leaving anyway. Like, girl, like, so tell me about this new job you got. And, like, only listen to, like, maybe the first 2 seconds. Like, yeah, so I got it. I'm so happy. That sounds so nice. So you don't have to go through my desk no more. It's great.
And then
sit back down.
Yes,
like, do a little bit of it every day. I
think very much this right here, Asante.
Oh,
you know when I really figured out I couldn't stand you. That day you can't like that kind of
yes,
shit.
Like, yes, yeah.
Every all over our cubicle, walk by and be like, "Hey, I was just coming back from my office, and I know you don't like that because that I got that office. You know the one back there, the one that you So I was thinking about you leaving and." I'm just so happy.
Be like, I want you to know, every like, time you wore them purple pants, girl, we hollered. We rolled every time you wore them purple pants.
By the way,
like that kind of
when
shit.
When you were sweating in your white shirt, we could see your bra.
Right.
I wouldn't wear pink under white, you know, in the office setting. Like, you know, just really shut that bitch down every chance you get, but real passively, kill her with kindness. So when she goes to complain, everybody saw you being pleasant with her in the office the whole time. Nobody got... And then they're going to be like, you're leaving anyway. They're not going to take
her
any of her claims.
Away every damn day.
Oh
dude, you know what? You might be able to get away
especially
with that.
Especially if she bought it that day.
They're not going
to
take
find
any
no
of her claims seriously.
Her
she's leaving in 2 weeks. They'll be like, oh, she's leaving in 2 weeks. We'll let you get away with, you know, harassing her a little bit.
Don't bring nobody in on it either. This ain't no group mission.
This is all you.
This is just you.
This is all.
You don't need to laugh with nobody. You can write back into us and tell us what you did.
This is all for your enjoyment. Go ahead and throw away a couple of documents that she might have submitted. Don't
a
let
couple.
Nobody know.
Yeah.
Oh
or you could
God.
Be like, oh, girl, I was cleaning off your desk trying to help you out because I know you're on your way
out.
Not
of their surveillance.
Wipe that computer.
What?
Right.
If they want to pull up surveillance, then ask them to run back when Miss Thing was going through your desk back then. Okay? So surveillance might not be that tight up in the tight. Okay?
There's ways around it, too.
You know, this was right up my alley. This don't happen too often.
I see you lit up.
Okay?
Switch
I don't take
was
naps.
On.
Okay? Then stress my rhino elastoplasticity, okay?
My rhino elastoplasticity.
Rhino.
Then stretch it to the max. So good luck, girl. Like you said, she got 2 weeks, you know, toast her every day. Like, just stand up, take the shot right in front of her, just raise the glass. Like,
not a toast
girl.
Every day.
Hell yeah.
Yo, imagine she does a countdown toast every day.
Yes, in front of her.
Look.
Five more days.
Hold it up. If you got an office with a nice glass door, make sure you specifically, like, pull your blinders back and everything and, like, look like you dancing a little bit. So she looking at you, then kind of point at her a little bit, raise the bottle, then raise the glass and jig a little bit.
Ooh,
do all that.
Ooh. And bring social media in the mix, right?
Nah.
Go like, look, listen, this how though, peep game, right? Go on Snapchat.
Y'all having so much fun with this right now.
Like, go on Snapchat and Instagram Live and shit in front of her and use the filters, right? And then turn around like you take a selfie, like, she leaving! She gone! And like stick the dog tongue out and shit.
Oh,
man,
my God.
One day me and my brother was on FaceTime. He was doing shout out to my brother, who is one of the funniest people I have ever met in my life. He was making that dog face without the filter, like we was just on FaceTime. So he was doing that face to people. I can't do it in here, but I'm telling y'all, it was the funniest shit in the world. Yes.
Hell to the motherfucking no.
Oh, woo. God, y'all have my face hurting right now. Well, thank you. We hope that.
Good luck, girl.
I can't even say
2 week countdown. Get you a special calendar to mark it down with, so you know you can just be proactive about getting that bitch on up out of there.
Well, that's your 30-day challenge right there. But in this case, it's 14.
Okay.
10.
9.
No, it's 10 because it's Monday through Friday. It's just work.
Hey, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, let's move on to this week's. Black business, what you got for us, Asante?
Shout out to JustLikeMeBox.com for the Just Like Me book box. They do a monthly subscription box where you get 2 to 3 children's books featuring characters of color, plus fun book swag. This is great for kids ages 12 or up to 12 years old. So if you're out there having trouble finding some books that look like us, because, you know, I found myself today watching movies and stuff, and I'd be like, it's not enough for us, and I'd be changing the channel.
Right.
So if you're looking for some books, you know, with some fair representation of your children, go ahead and log on to JustLikeMeBox.com. Like I said, it comes with 2 to 3 books. And
that's so cute.
The subscriptions, I think they come out once a month. They've been seen on Black Enterprise, The Huffington Post, and Reading is Fundamental.
Perfect.
But I think when they run out of certain books, they'll just, like, start a new box with different books. So you're definitely getting something new every month. So this, if you missed out on one thing.
It ties right into our wellness segment, too. This could be the alternative method, right?
We didn't even bring up reading.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Read a chapter for
read
every episode
bit.
You watch, right?
Read a little bit of your heart to me. Oh. I love that. So, give a little bit.
So don't forget, so if you're looking to give a little bit, log on to JustLikeMeBox.com. If you ain't got no kids, I mean, just get it to somebody with some kids. Because I just wish that when I was growing up, I could be like, oh, well, this was my favorite book. And it was a bunch of Black characters, okay?
That is
so
cute.
Won't that be the way when these kids get older?
Love it. Thank you.
Shout out to Just Like Me Book Box.
That's it for this week's show. We hope you found the information helpful. Now, before
another
we leave,
one.
Do you guys have any church announcements? Mm-mm. Nothing, Asante.
I just want to say thanks to everybody that came out to the show in London on Saturday. It was a blast. Of course, everyone said how much they missed you guys here at the Friend Zone.
Aww.
I did remind them that we will be back for the Shout Out Live Festival, so don't forget to get your tickets for that if you haven't already. Outside of that, I'm still on the road with the Furious One. Kid Fury Live goes to Philly next Sunday, June 4th. So.
Yay.
KidFuryLive.com. If you haven't got your tickets, go and get your tickets, and I'm going to see you out there.
Thank you guys for all the feedback on my guest appearance on Black Girl in Ohm's podcast. You guys showed a lot of love. I listened back and it really was a great conversation. So thanks for that. Thanks to Lauren and Dion for having me. And Kingston, Jamaica, I will see you guys next week.
Yes.
Excited. Yes.
Black woman gets blacker.
Speaking of black women getting black, right? I just want to give one shout out to Crystals, who...
Yes.
Crystal is the shit anyway, but she gave the commencement speech.
I think it was Vassar. That's huge.
Yes.
Yeah. She actually retweeted the transcription from the commencement.
Did you find a gem in there?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, it literally, I could crack some of the jokes.
She worked
really hard. But
she
kept it fucking real. And it was literally the perfect advice for a graduating student.
She's so talented.
So, shout out to Crystal. I'm going to retweet. I think I actually already did retweet the speech, but it was great. So shout out to her. And plus, that's dope as hell that she even did that. She
had
to speak at a fucking graduate.
And you know how nerve wracking that
is?
And she pulled through and it was written amazingly well, which
ever
is
gonna ask me to do that.
Crystal, where's that book? Cough, cough.
Okay.
We love you. And thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
We will catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Bye.